experience sexual magic. Everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show here at WrestlingObserver.com. I am, of course, the good doctor, Dr. Keith. Thank you so much for joining us this week on another free show edition of the Dr. Keith Show. Of course, this will be the free show for August 09, and what a tremendous show we have. We have three very special guests from the wonderful world of interspecies wrestling. We have, of course, El Presidente, Mike Roach, the other champion, which is, of course, Muhammad the Terrorist Cow, and, of course, the one and only Twiggy. All three amazing guests this week on the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show. And also joining us, of course, is the wonderful, talented, selected panel of guest co-hosts that I have, and two men that I hold in high esteem, of course, first and foremost, because the world needs ditch diggers. Welcome to the show, Mr. Rob Naylor.
Hola. How you doing, buddy?
Doing okay. How about yourself, Robert?
Digging those ditches.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of a guy that digs graves, because they are pretty cool, welcome, of course. That's an old Young Ones reference for those of you out there. And the Young Ones, of course, a show that was done way before this man was born, probably. Welcome back to the show, our good friend, Mr. Alan Cunahan. Alan, how you doing, sir?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing great.
This is going to be a tremendous show as we preview, of course, the Interspecies Pro Wrestling debut in the wonderful state of Connecticut. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that show on DVD when it's released by Smart Mark, but this was a nice insight into some of the wonderful characters they have there. Wouldn't you say, Alan?
Absolutely. It's going to be a really fun show, and it will definitely match the fun interviews we had this week with the cast of characters from ISW.
Oh, it's good stuff. But, guys, we could talk all day about interspecies, zombies, trannies, and everything else, but we could also talk about the latest and greatest in pro wrestling news. So, you know, what the hell's going on in pro wrestling right now, Alan?
There's the G1 is going to be starting in New Japan soon. That kind of looks good. CM Punk turned heel. That was pretty awesome. Raw still kind of sucks, although Shaq was on it this week and he was kind of funny. What else? TNA is awful, but they're like getting rid of everyone. They fired Savio Vega and Dutch Mantel, so hopefully Russo will be next. I just hope they at this point, I wouldn't even care if they just give crazy Kurt Angle the book, because I just want anyone different, just because it can't be any worse than it is, so you might as well give it to someone different. What else is going on? We got Dragon Gate USA coming off their great show last week. Dragon Gate Summer Tag League just started in Japan. All Japan's junior tournaments going on. Lots of things going on.
My goodness, wow.
WG had a good show.
Yeah, geez, yeah, PWG last night. They had
and
their...
the booking, Brian Kendrick.
Yes.
Who was released this week?
Ooh.
You know, if someone hadn't had the internet for the last week, they could just listen to that 1 minute of Alan talking all about all the pro wrestling headlines in like a 1 minute sentence, and they'd be totally up to date with stuff.
That was a fine, fine synopsis. I cannot argue.
that was a tremendous synopsis. That was
better than my synopsis of the Dragon Gate USA show. That's for sure.
I don't know, Rob. I think you brought up some great points from last week, and the only real negativity
I thought it was the funniest when you asked if it was sarcasm, if I liked the show or not, and some people actually believed that you were being serious.
I thought you hyped the show very, very nicely, and I don't think anyone would think anything other than you thought that was an awesome show.
Yeah, that's my train of thought, but who knows. You know what else is an awesome show? DDT4. DDT from PWG, an even better show than Dragon Gate USA.
Oh my goodness!
Oh shit!
Oh boy! And this is, of course,
honestly, as good as Dragon Gate USA was, best show I've seen in years. DDT 4 was even better. unbelievable show. If you buy one DVD all year, make it DDT4 from PWG, because that company is on fire. They have a streak of about 12 shows now that have been consecutively awesome. They are the best kept secret in wrestling, and I will go on. I mean, last night they had another show which had standing room only, added chairs. Billy Corgan, God love him, he loves his professional wrestling and will show up and see the areas of Reseda to see it. Unbelievable. And Chris Hero remains the champ, and the Young Bucks were defeated but not dethroned by two skinny black guys, who are a wonderful combination.
And of course, the Young Bucks losing their first tag match in quite a while. And more importantly, this brings up new contenders. And even better for the fact that Chucky T, Chuck Taylor, interrupts afterwards to basically give the Omega Driver to El Generico, continuing their year-long saga where it still is not over yet.
Yeah, man. Ultimately, I think that the Young Bucks are the hottest wrestlers in the world.
Oh, no.
And that's not like I'd like to, ooh, they're cute. But no,
you have to admit they are sort of cute, Rob. I mean,
they're dreamy. So. But no, they're really awesome. Like,
and they're pretty much now ridiculously over baby faces on the East Coast and ridiculously over heels on the West Coast.
Yeah, but like, if you, every week in and week out, you read reviews, and if it's not an ROH TV taping, 9 times out of 10, the Young Bucks match is getting the most praise out of anyone on the show. So I watched them live against the Machine Guns.
Did they have a match? I vaguely remember they had a match that got a lot of hype, or not a lot of hype, but it was like talked about as being very good on an ROH New York show. I'm going to say it was against maybe Kenny King and Rhett Titus. And
Was hyped too well, but I think the match I heard that was very good was them and Steen and Generico. But I think that was tucked away on a Virginia show that no one watched.
Oh, those Virginia shows suck.
Yeah, I'll certainly Dead never. I imagine that. Maybe I'll see it at some point. It might even be on DVD. This is the sad thing about us former ROH fans.
I wouldn't know, but I just actually checked their front page for like the first time in like a month today, and I saw what like the latest DVDs were, and they don't have that New York one or the Virginia one out. I think the most recent one is, I think Edison. It's an Edison show, and like what was the match on it then?
Sanjay and Hero. Man.
Yeah, and Dragon and
Steen
against
the
American
Wolves,
which that could actually be kind of good. I didn't hear anything about it, but I'd imagine it can't be anything but pretty decent.
I'm turning on the Wolves. I don't know why. It just certainly it happened like in the last couple of days. I just think they're so samey, and it's just, I'm over it. Davey Richards also, like, not
what?
Turning. I just, I don't know. Just eh.
What match did you see that?
What has caused this? Because
I'm gonna run and hit an elbow, and oh, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna kick and chop you hard, and I started looking at all of his matches, and it got to the point where I didn't want to see him against Tyler Black and American Dragon anymore. I was like, fuck that, I don't want to see him against Steen and Generico anymore. If he gets a whole bunch of new different kind of opponents, maybe it'll make. Well, that's certainly one of them, but like, I don't get. Like, I'll watch a lot of other people. There's, like, me and Alan were recently discussing online all of our favorite current wrestlers to watch, and I don't even think Shingo was on my list, but there was a whole litany of human beings on my list that I think are really awesome.
I think you put all the Dragon Gate USA guys that were on that show.
Yeah, and Davey wasn't, though. So, did I say Shingo?
Yeah, oh yeah, you said Shingo. Yeah,
Davey,
yeah, I guess you meant Davey, yeah.
Yeah, I meant Davey. I still do love Shingo. But
have you seen Shingo's leather jacket? He might have had it on the DGUSA show.
I don't think he did, but
it's the greatest thing ever. It's, remember when Kensuke was like in like about 10 years ago when he was the New Japan champion?
When he had the mullet?
The mullet and cool leather jacket. Shingo's got an awesome leather jacket like that with like the Japanese flag on the back of it or something, and pretty
airbrush?
Much the greatest thing ever.
Is it an airbrush leather jacket? Because those are the best.
I don't know, to tell you the truth. I'll get you a picture and send it to you.
Mm.
Shingo's awesome. Shingo and all those Dragon Gate guys were just so good. Like, I watched all the Dragon Gate six-mans, and I was just like, these guys out of that Ultimo Dragon system are just the best. And I'm flighty with who my favorite wrestlers are from week to week. They're all so fucking good.
Next week, Davey Richards is so awesome.
The best wrestler in the world. I was watching some Davey Richards. Well, the thing with Davey is the fact that for years we knew the guy could sort of move, but then in the last year or so we found that he had some sort of personality, and it was damn entertaining. I mean, he's made some of those video wires. Like, when the video wires were very, very bad, Davey Richards would do promos in there, and when you're like, wow, the highlight of this is a Davey Richards promo, but the Davey Richards promo was pretty fucking fantastic. You know, like, he does... I didn't know he was such a great impressionist.
Yeah, I think he's okay. The promos are what I think is overhyped the most. Like, when he's limping around, and it's alright. I just see him as an ass kicker, which is not bad. Some of my favorite wrestlers of all time are ass kickers, Stan Hansen. But, like, I just...
I was going to say about the Dragon Gate guys, is it Shingo, Doi, and Seema that are coming into PWG?
That's what I think I read. Yeah.
I believe
September 4th.
And that's not Battle of Los Angeles.
No, Battle of Los Angeles, from what my scoops tell me, and it's not Rob Naylor, that will be happening again in November, I believe.
Okay, that's cool. So, that's disappointing that it won't be out for Christmas, but oh well.
Well, if you know, hopefully early enough in November where they could possibly do a rush job on high spots. But
a clusterfuck of a weekend that is, by the way, September 4th and 5th. Isn't Tornado and Hero in Ian's tournament?
Yes, they are.
I mean, they're not going to be at PWG.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. But at the same time, they're scheduled to be in Ian's tournaments. Remember that, the scheduling part, you know.
Also, they could... Is what night is PWG? Is it like if it's a Saturday or Sunday, maybe they could be eliminated from TPI on
Friday.
Does
Ian do like one night 8 matches and then the next night?
Yeah,
because
I just watched the 2005 one recently, and they had Jamie Noble get eliminated in the first round, and I think they were joking or something. I read actually was joking about how it was obvious he was going to get eliminated because he was booked for ROH the next night.
Right. There was always things like that. Okay, PWG, I believe, is running the 4th, which is a Friday, which is the first night of TPI. Then Saturday the 5th is, you know, the second night of TPI, and also it's going to be AAW in Berwyn. And then the 6th, of course, will be the big, huge Dragon Gate USA show in Chicago at the Congress Theater. So that,
Dragon Gate's on a Sunday?
Yeah.
What?
Sunday night at 6
God.
O'clock.
I did not recognize that realize it even. Huh.
So for wrestling fans in the greater Chicagoland area like myself, that is a wonderful, you know, just a excited wrestling weekend.
Do you think the tickets aren't selling that well?
That was probably just because they hadn't announced any matches. And it's like, I don't know, I'd say like once the Danielson and Shingo matches were announced, I'd say the ticket selling picked up quite a bit. But I was going to say the Dragon Gate show that I'm going to in the UK is a Sunday too, which means I've got the Monday off work to fly home. Uh-huh. So that's I don't want to hear anyone bitching about like the DGUSA show. Oh, I have to drive home late that Sunday night.
The thing is, most of America actually has a holiday the next day, as that's our fantastic Labor Day weekend.
Jesus.
So,
well,
man, that's
absolutely no complaints.
You know, that's
Labor Day. That's when all the ladies have their babies, Alan.
No, I wish that was this weekend, guys.
Oh, anyway.
Oh my goodness! But yeah, let's. Wow, I don't even know how we got this, other than the fact that Rob hates Davey Richards now. So you know,
I just don't hate him. I'm not trying to watch his matches. Like, I didn't tape a couple HDNet ROHs, and I could DVR it. I just don't even bother anymore. Like, that Danielson-Tyler match, which I told everyone was so awesome, and I couldn't wait to see it because it was so great live, by the time it actually happened, I did not even see the show, and I didn't tape the show, and I never even saw the match.
It was good. Like, I just don't like the atmosphere on those HDNet shows. It's so... The reason I'm not overly annoyed about the Hero Kenta match being on a... HDNet is because the thing with Hero is he creates his own atmosphere, and he's like one of the only guys that can overcome the HDNet, like shitty commentary, shitty crowd heat because of the production, and like shitty camera and everything. Because Hero basically, I've noticed, commentates his own matches now. I was watching the Jerry Lynn Boston match, and Hero is just trash talking him from start to finish, never shutting up, and it was so entertaining. And it's like, he just like, it doesn't matter that, like, you can't hear the crowd or whatever because it's on HDNet, because Hero's just so good at doing that shit that it's keeping you entertained.
Yeah, that Jerry Lynn match was fucking awesome. Like that, yeah. They did the Akuma Claudio thing, and Lynn didn't get his arms around right, but Hero still just took this crazy back bump and rolled up into a pin, and he definitely overcompensated for a lot of things in that match, and I heard he had a good one with Lance Storm, too. He's arguably, like, the most buzzworthy ROH guy right now,
I
think.
That's the fact, that's why he's having matches with Kenta and such, and the fact that I might not be able to remember the ROH World Champion off the top of my head, even though I just remembered it was Austin Aries, but I'll know who Chris Hero is facing and such, because Chris Hero is definitely one of those multi, you know, I think Chris has a dimension to him that not a lot of other guys have. Like, where PWG, he's probably doing nothing other than being Chris Hero to get booed at, but people are throwing empty pitchers of beer at him, and, you know, there's a lot of hate going on with him and the Young Bucks in PWG right now, and it could be because...
He's peaking, too. Like, he's adding new things. Like, Davey Richards, the other IT wrestler of the year, supposedly, like, he's also kind of peaking as far as intensity, but he had intensity in 2006 and 7 and 8. So I just think Hero changes his stuff up enough that it
doesn't plan
the person to get bored, I think.
I was reading an interview with him where he said he every 6 months he takes out a bunch of moves and stops using them forever and adds in a bunch of new ones every single 6 months, which you kind of, if you've been watching Hero for like the last 4 or 5 years or whatever, you'd kind of notice that. Because like if you watch an old like IWA Mid-South match, like watch his match with Samoa Joe or something. Actually, that's probably a bad example because it was a very strike-heavy match. But like watch one of his matches from back in like 2004. And it's like he's doing all these moves that he never does now. And just stuff he does now he wasn't doing in that match. It's really cool.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, like you could actually look at stuff that he did over a six-month time period in ROH when he was, you know, when he first went under the tutelage of Sweeney and just became very, you know, aerodynamic and doing all sorts of flips and all sorts of gymnastic high spots, and then compare that with the Young Knockout Kid, and it's totally a different, you know, that's good. We want wrestling characters to evolve. We don't want them to sort of be the same old, or if they're going to bring back stuff, bring back the good stuff. An example right now, like CM Punk with his whole, you know, I always thought that the straight edge, you know, as someone that's been a punk rocker for a number of years and such, I always thought straight edge automatic heel because all the straight edge guys were a bunch of fucking assholes, you know. And like I think that plays to his strengths, and I think the fact that he's had a good WWE run where he's not used any of that stuff and now it's starting to come off, that's a good nice welcome back. It's good wrestling comfort food, as I like to call it.
Yeah, my grandmother, RIP, once said, Bobby, patience is a virtue. And it really fucking is, because if you think about it...
Wow.
Chris Hero, every single time he reinvents himself, people fucking shit on it. Like, oh, at first they was like, Chris Hero's, he's done with CZW, and now he's going to just be, you know, an athlete in ROH. Then he became Flippy Chris Hero, and people are like, eh. But then toward the end of every, like, era he has... people really get with it. Young Knockout Kid was ripped on for pretty much six or seven months, and now fucking people can't get enough of it because he's conditioned, he's gotten over his spots, he's conditioned people to know what to look for, and it keeps on rolling.
Damn green elbow pad.
That fucking elbow pad is right. It's ridiculous. And obviously the guy is hitting the gym like a wild man, so good for him. Good for CM Punk too, his old erstwhile colleague / rival. His heel turn last night was... out of control, great. I called it the best 15 minutes of professional wrestling on WWE television since Eddie Guerrero turned on Ray Jr. in 2005. It's just that memorable, great match turned into an angle that I really think always adds to anything. Think Steamboat and Flair when Funk came out and went wild.
You've been making movies with Sly Stallone and... Yeah.
I was just kidding, Rick.
Let me just shake your hand, Rick. You know.
And Jim Ross was at both of them too. And like, I loved how Funk.
Jim Ross did a great job, didn't he?
Both times, I loved it when he threw Flair out and Funk went to GG. You throw someone to the outside, and usually the heel will just kind of chill and wait for him to get back in. Funk dove out and started pounding Flair more. And look what happened last night. Same fucking scenario where Punk was relentless. He ran out. He beat the shit out of him. He pulled something out of American Dragon's playbook, elbowed the shit out of his face. There were fat chicks crying. There were little kids with paint on their face crying.
I just like the fact that John Morrison got a nice pat on the back for Punk going on the way up. So I think that alone.
That was so slimy.
That was just a fantastic slimy thing. And the fact that, you know, right now, if internet fans sit there and, you know, if we basically sat there and told internet fans all the stuff that was going on with this angle and did not include CM Punk's name, people would be like, oh, that sounds so great. But as soon as you put Punk's name in there, all of a sudden it becomes, oh, Jesus, I don't know how I feel about that, you know. So it's a weird, wonderful wrestling world we live in. But, you know, yeah, I think Punk raising his hand and such, and then the way the turn was executed was made for fantastic television, especially during a time and age where I can't sit through Raw anymore. I got too much stuff going on, you know.
Despite him being there for 4 years now, Punk, I think that. Or five, 3 years, math isn't my forte. I think he
ditches are.
Exactly. Bitches certainly are. He won two world titles. He won the Intercontinental belt, tag belt. Not until last night at about 9:55 or whenever the fuck it aired did he arrive. He is arrived in the WWE, and it's onward and upward. I can't see anything halting his momentum. I've waited, like, years for him to turn bad, and now it finally happened. It exceeded expectations, so... Buckle up, fuckers, because this is going to be good stuff.
This is what to look forward to right now in television.
If only you were allowed Blade in WWE TV in 2009.
Yeah, they're allowing them to make references to wearing prescriptions on your sleeve and things like that. So I don't know, man. You never know what they might start allowing again.
I just worked out what that meant. Thank you, Ralph. I was wondering, what's Rob talking about? And I thought about it for a second. I was like, oh, that's pretty clever.
Rob Naylor, the most clever man in the wrestling business today. So.
Yes. Clever.
Oh. But guys, I think what we're going to do is since this Chris Hero, CM Punk, mutual admiration jerk fest has really concluded very nicely.
Ooh,
right now.
Davey Richards.
I forgot, yeah. That's the show description. Yay, CM Punk. Yay, Chris Hero. Boo, Davey Richards. And yay, elbows. So I'd like to sit there and say those.
There are towers in Connecticut.
There are terrorists in Connecticut. I think what we're going to do is we're going to do a quick commercial break. When we come back, myself and Alan will sit man on man on man on cow. And I know that sounds hot for some people out there. With, of course, Muhammad the Terrorist Cow and Mike Roch, El Presidente of Interspecies Pro Wrestling. So please stay tuned.
When there's no one left to fight, boys like him don't shine so bright. Soon as I see the dust settle, he's out on the town trying to find trouble. When there's no one left to fight, boys like him don't shine so bright. Soon as I see the dust settle, he's out on the town trying to find trouble.
For shame and blame, a city painter. See a friend I hadn't seen since I was drinking underage. I was a 10 a day, how'd you say? Little shit, white lightning, hiding on my courage, quick wit. We were sick and seasoned wallabies, but I'm just on whiskey. Martin just says I'm a fan of band, fan of jam, 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 jam. I don't know who I am, he said I don't know if I can. I said, yeah, well, you can.
When there's no one left to fight, boys like him don't shine so bright. Soon as I see the dust settle,
and welcome back to the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show on a very special Interspecies Wrestling edition. We have right now with us two fantastic guests. We have guys that I've wanted to have on the show for a while. I think one is a fantastic human being, a man that brings interspecies wrestling to life, and a man that just, you know, basically the brainchild behind this awesome Canadian wrestling promotion, which of course is making their American debut next week in, of course, the most American state of them all, Connecticut. We have on the show with us first, we have, of course, Mike Roch, and also we have a very, very, very special guest. Alan, I know this is one of your favorite workers right now. I know know you and I were talking earlier on, and when talking about your favorite workers of the last year or so, you said that Kenta fellow from Japan, and then you said this man.
Yes, definitely in the league with the likes of Kenta, Chris Jericho. The next name on the list would definitely be our other guest on the line, Muhammad. How are you doing?
Death to humans. I'm doing very well today.
Oh, tremendous. And Mr. Roch, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm not bad, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing very well because we have three people that are big time on the show this week, and this is going to be Interspecies Wrestling coming to, of course, Connecticut. And, you know, I don't really want to say that there's going to be any acts of wrestling terrorism, but it would not surprise me.
Oh, no, be prepared for that, my friend. Be plenty prepared for that. Yes, yes, plenty prepared.
I mean, Muhammad, do you have anything special planned for the Connecticut show?
You'll have to come and see it for yourselves. But I promise you, the state of Connecticut might not be there anymore when I leave. It's going to be great.
Now, Mike, why Connecticut? Why now?
Pardon me? You cut out there.
Oh, not a problem. Why the state of Connecticut and why right now?
Man, I wish I had a good, like, fancy schmancy answer for you. The fact is, it was just convenient for us. So we're going for it. Plus, you know, when a Canadian thinks of wrestling in the States, they obviously think of Connecticut because of who's based out of there.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's basically...
Who's based there? Iron Sheep?
I'm not going to tell you. You might blow them up.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my.
But tell me later, then.
So are you saying that the Titan Tower should be perhaps under watch when it comes to Connecticut on 8809?
There are towers in Connecticut? Wow.
I believe there are multiple towers in Connecticut right now. I mean, I always say Titan Towers, but I always thought it was just one, and I want to still think it has the old Scratch logo, and they've just taken black paint and covered up the F on it.
Wow, that's fabulous. Yeah. I was going to make this a business trip, but now it seems like I might make it a little bit personal, too. Beautiful.
Oh, boy. But let's start with you, Mike, because, of course, tell us about the humble beginnings of this promotion, because you, of course, are the brainchild and the man behind it all.
You know, honestly, most promotions, they have, like, this awesome story about how they started, and it was just a couple friends joking around on MSN Messenger one night and just making up this dream card of these matches. Like, there's this wrestler in Quebec named Face of Death back in the day, and he was famous for doing flaming tables matches. And we were like, all right, we'll do Face of Death versus, like, a pile of dead babies or something like that. And then we were going to do Kurt Lauderdale, who's currently in prison for murder, against
I remember
a Cabbage
that
Patch
guy.
Doll. Against a Cabbage Patch Doll because he looks like a giant Cabbage Patch Doll. Like, just stuff like that. Just planning a bunch of bullshit matches. And then somebody brought up the idea of doing Beef Wellington versus an actual goat. Just like, it all went downhill from there. We just started making all these matches with these, like, stupid animal characters. And it's like, you know, there's probably actually a market for this.
Oh, fuck yeah, there's a market for it, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, the Beef Wellington goat match ever happen, or was that something that was more confined to the wonderful world of apartment wrestling?
We didn't actually end up booking the goat. He would have cost too much, you know, because booking an actual goat, I think, is like $400.
Oh, my
God. Goats are very expensive, yes.
That match was actually going to be a ladder match.
Oh, my. So you okay? I got a picture of this. One side Beef Wellington, one side a goat. Was it like a mountain goat, or was it a standard like Billy Goat?
It was just gonna be like one of those little goats, you know?
Oh my goodness! And
probably
and
one of the ones that randomly falls over.
Oh, those are the best kind of goats. Those goats have give great work rate, by the way. So
yeah, they take huge bumps off ladders.
They're tremendous,
Imagine a goat climbing a ladder and then just falling off.
Well, that's the way you gotta. That's how you celebrate the ladder match. Is a stupid bump at the end.
Exactly. It's like when you win a ladder match in that WWF No Mercy game.
You have to do that.
Everybody does the big Jeff Hardy bump.
Yes. Oh, that game rules.
It does.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Muhammad.
I'm sorry. I don't have a console in my cave. I don't know what you're talking about. What's No Mercy?
Oh, it's a video game from the fine people. Was it a THQ game, Alan?
Yeah, I believe it was. It's just one of these things that we puny humans entertain ourselves with, Muhammad.
I believe Virtual Pro.
Pathetic. I entertain myself by shaboinking random women. And you play video games. That's horrible.
That proves that Muhammad is definitely more man and more man-cow than any of us here, basically. You know?
Damn straight. I've got the good milk. Yes, that's right. I hope there are plenty of bitches listening to this. Yes.
I would think that basically, based off our demographics, we have a lot of people in the Connecticut area, and more importantly, a lot of bitches. So this is
fantastic.
This is going to be something. I would want to say, you know, I don't know what the name of the venue that you guys are running, because of course I am a very good planner, but I would think that you would have to reinforce the ring and also Muhammad's dressing room, because I think there's going to be a line a mile long of as I like to call them, infidels.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's okay. There's nothing that can really hold me back outside of the Iron Sheep, but he won't be there. He's retired. He's too old.
I was going to ask you about the Iron Sheep. I was going to ask you about the Iron Sheep later, but since you've brought him up, I just watched one of your matches teaming with him today, and he's quite the tag team partner. Were you sad to see him go?
Well, no, you see, the problem was arthritis got to him, and cocaine is a hell of a drug, so... The Iron Sheep had to, how do you put it in your infidel language, retire peacefully with plenty of bitches around him. And, you know, like a WWE email would say, I wish him well on his future endeavors, yes.
Does he still have his mustache? That's the important question.
Of course he has his mustache.
Excellent.
His mustache
excellent.
Is like his penis. You can't get rid of it. Come on, man.
Well, I mean, I would think that scorned infidels might want to chop it off. You know,
Have
you ever tried to fight the Iron Sheep? He's not going to get near that mustache.
Does he bang women with his mustache?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
My goodness. That's some good mustache pornography. You
it's
know.
What we like to call a dirty Ahmed. It's the greatest sexual move you will ever pull off if you've never done it before.
You know, as a fan of mustaches, I've never heard about this. And to tell you the truth, it makes me really want to grow one badly.
Do it, my friend. The curlier the better. Dirty Ahmed really gets them going.
Oh, my goodness. Is there anything else revolving around sex and mustaches that I must know about? Because really, it's a subject that I've had a lot of passion about for the last decade or so. But now I really figure out, you know, I'm going to have children very soon. I really should get into this now before, you know, of course, you know, the infidels grow up.
Oh, no, you can do it with children around, too. It doesn't matter. The other day I stooped a gorilla, and her babies were watching. It was fantastic.
Oh, my. Now, they weren't nursing while this was going on, right? Because that could get a little awkward.
I really, where my head was, I couldn't really notice the titty area, so I don't know.
So they didn't hang down or anything like that?
At the same time, it could have been, I don't know. I was giving her my Hershey's kiss.
Oh my goodness, you know. I just... Alan, I don't know what, but I've decided this has to be a free show this week, because there's nothing. This might be the cornerstone of all interviews ever. So, you know.
Milk chocolate penis.
Milk chocolate, exactly. I mean, I think we have the show description right there, as a matter of fact. ISW, milk chocolate penis. That could be Mike, you could actually use that as a show name. I'm going to give that.
Definitely could.
You know, especially for a show that, you know, that has kids in for free and a puppet show as well. So.
Oh, God, yes.
That's what's really needed now in wrestling, whatever. You know.
Puppets.
Oh, God, yes. I mean, if anything, it seems, you know, interspecies, you guys have, you know, animals, you have dead people, but the one thing you don't have yet, puppets.
That's right. I want puppets, and I also want to eventually book that blow-up doll from Japan.
Oh, Yoshihiko.
Oh, my goodness. Who would
and
you...
the old ladder from DDT.
Oh, God.
DDT have a big sumo hall show coming up, and they've got, I think there's a big battle royal, and I wouldn't be surprised to see the ladder and the blow-up doll involved in that.
As a tag...
They should be tag team champions.
Exactly. I would think Absolutely. As a unit, they would be up there with the Heart Diamonds.
They should be like WWE's unified champs. They should beat Jericho and Big Show. Fuck primetime.
Well, I mean, oh, okay, well, wait a second, hold on. You have the ladder and a blow-up doll versus Crime Time. I mean, which, I mean, obviously we have to go with the ladder blow-up team.
Oh, absolutely, easily.
You know, like I don't see the Crime Time, you know, being a true pimpin' player like our man Muhammad here.
I would want the ladder and the blow up doll to win simply because they're not human.
I think
kill a human is good in my book.
I think that the ladder would end up doing all the work because the blow up doll has a tendency to get blown up.
Oh.
But the ladder might be too stiff in the ring.
Oh. Well, it's one of them strong style ladders, apparently. You know.
Oh, a Japanese ladder.
Sort of like the Japanese table. I only hope that the show coming up on the 8th in Connecticut will have a strong style table that basically no one is able to break whatsoever. Because
didn't they do something stupid like that in like IWA Mid-South and like they just couldn't break the table and they put the guy through it about 30 times?
I believe that was Wife Beater versus... I was there and it was one of the greatest things I ever saw because literally they went through three different... I think it was Wife Beater versus Corporal Robinson, and no matter what happened, they could not break any of the tables. Like, I mean, they were doing the stupidest spots ever, like, you know, like avalanche power bombs off the apron and such. Still, the ladder wasn't there. But we could talk forever about, you know, men wrestling, but I'd rather talk about some interspecies pro wrestling right now. So, you know, Muhammad, of course, you're going to be facing Stinky the Homeless Guy at the show. I mean, a no good bomb and stuff like that. Do you plan on...
A worthless piece of crap. Is what I'm facing. If I could think of something that I could flush down the toilet, it would be Stinky. Because he belongs there. He belongs in the sewers. He's a waste of space. He's proof that there is no God. Because no God would let somebody like that walk around on the planet. Come on.
He is.
Keith, we should probably fill the listeners in. And Mike, you can jump in if I miss any details here. But there's quite the storyline building up to this match. Because Stinky was very, very good friends with a young man named Flipty Burger. And Muhammad was responsible for breaking up this glorious friendship. But he had quite the feud going with Flipty Burger. And eventually he won a match where the winner gets to eat the loser. And Muhammad surprised everyone by not eating Flip and actually making him come over to his side, making him see his point of view. And Flip turned on his best friend, Stinky. And yeah, that's where we are now. So Stinky's definitely a man on an island on his own, and he's going to be looking for revenge. And you may have your work cut out for you, Muhammad. I'm sure you'll be able to deal with it.
No. See, first of all, I'm going to elaborate on your story. You see, Flipty Burger was not the man. Everybody thinks I hated Flipty Burger and I wanted to kill him. I wanted to fight Ronald McDonald because that son of a bitch killed my family. That was the whole reason behind why I am the way I am. My family and I were peaceful, you know, half man, half cows, until Ronald McDonald killed them and fed them to your already obese society.
Mm.
So I wanted to fight Ronald McDonald, and Flipty Burger, being the good employee that he was, stepped up to the plate. Now, his friend, or quote-unquote friend, Stinky, came into the picture. Why? Because Flip promised he would feed him. He's not really a friend. A friend would have done it for free. You see, Stinky was doing it. Flipty Burger didn't realize it. He was getting used every way possible. And when I beat him in that loser gets eaten by the winner match, I looked into his eyes and I saw a man who was beaten. He realized that he was fighting for the wrong team. So I told him the truth. And that made him hate Stinky even more. That waste of space, no good jabroni. So here we are now, God knows how many years later, and finally Stinky is going to get what he deserves. And that's a burial in Connecticut.
Oh, my God. And the homeless, I mean, you don't really have to bury them. You could just leave their bones, you know, just...
Even better.
I'll
save money that way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would think, I mean, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, that if Stinky does, you know, perhaps perish during this contest, it's not up to Muhammad or Interspecies to actually pay for the burial.
No, it's not. Actually, I got a story kind of related to this. I remember when I was in Toronto for WrestleMania 18, I was walking down one of the fine, long, super long streets they have there, and I saw this homeless person sleeping on, like, a heating grate. And upon further inspection, as we walked by this homeless person, we determined that he was dead. So we just kept walking.
That's the best kind. That's the best
and
kind
then, of homeless person. I'm not done yet. And then on our way back from the mall we went to, the homeless person was no longer there. All that was left was his boots and a stain.
Oh, God.
So I'm pretty sure that if Muhammad does kill Stinky, it's just going to be a stain. That's it.
You don't think he would, you know, spontaneously combust it or anything like that?
I think the earth just kind of opens up and swallows the homeless.
Oh, that's, if that's the case, wow, this is, we could see a possible death. I know it's not really fun to make fun of death, but in this case it definitely is. But in interspecies wrestling, there could be a death with, you know, Stinky the homeless guy, and more importantly, Muhammad with his other title would still be, you know, a fantastic champion, as the kids call it. Muhammad, this other title match that you have, this other title belt, it's a beautiful, beautiful belt. Obviously, you're probably wearing it right now. Is there any title in the wrestling world that is more prestigious than this belt?
No, I'm wearing the most prestigious belt right now that you can possibly think of. The only thing that may come close is the one that Player Crapo is wearing right now as the ISW champion. But, you see, everybody knows that I'm better than him, right? So obviously I'm wearing the best belt possible. There's nobody out there who's a better champion than me. Nobody. You want to know why? Because all those other champions, they only care about the victory. I don't care. I care about killing my opponent. Therefore, I will always win. You'll never get a rematch against me, man. Think about it.
That's
you
a good
challenge
idea.
Me? Would you challenge me knowing I would kill you if I was given the chance to?
Not at all. No, that's...
Therefore, I am the best, aren't I?
Yeah, you have to be in that case, because the fact that there's not, like, any rematch clauses or anything like that, especially when you're dead.
Exactly.
You know?
If you want to fight me while you're dead, that's unless you're the walking undead, then that's a different story. That's a different set of contracts. But, you know, once I kill you, you're dead.
You know, well, I would think that if you, you know, you possibly had a match with some sort of zombie and actually removed the brain and perhaps cooked it up and ate it, you know, well, there is a fear that you could possibly become a zombie when you get some bad brains in you, and I don't mean the punk band, but, you know, like, there could be a whole, you know, like, just because you just gotta separate that head and then bang, the zombies are gone as well, and then you'll just be no contenders, and, you know, ISW is just a promotion with just one man, Muhammad, two belts, and lots of dead bodies that have been sucked up by the earth. Is this a fear of yours, Mike?
It's definitely a fear. You never know what you're going to get when you, you know, put a, you know, a known terrorist in the ring. You know,
are you worried about protests in Connecticut? Like, you know, like perhaps, you know, like, I'm not going to say PETA because those people are just a bunch of douches, but I mean, I'm talking about, like, you know, people that, you know, freedom loving Americans and such that know that a known terrorist is going to be wrestling, of course, on August the 8th.
You know, it's something we are expecting, obviously, because of, you know, the past, you know, stuff that's gone on in the States involving terrorists. Like, we're from Canada, where terrorists don't really bother with us. I guess we're insignificant to them.
Like Ireland.
So, yeah, there you go. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I half expect it. I hope it doesn't happen. I don't see PETA protesting. If anything, they'll buy a ticket to watch Muhammad because, you know, he's for their cause.
I fight for PETA. I love them.
I like
especially
PETA
with hummus.
Oh, you get some pita bread and some hummus. That stuff's delicious.
There you go. It's fantastic.
Right there. You know, yeah, I'm a big fan of Middle East. Some shawarma, perhaps. Not the beef kind, of course. But, I mean, you do the chicken shawarma. It's, you know, I don't know why talking to ISW Allen always makes me want to eat food for some reason or another. So, you know.
Well, it's only natural.
Talking to ISW makes you want to eat. Talking to humans makes me want to vomit. We have so much in common.
Wow, my goodness. You know. Alan, I know you had a question.
Yeah, we can't let this interview go by, Muhammad, without asking you about a very special lady in your life. A young lady that you've sacrificed your shame for by getting caught pleasuring yourself in a public stall over, and that is a young Miss Kelly Clarkson, and just kind of fill us in on your thoughts on her and what she means to you in life.
She's nobody anymore. She's my ex. She's nothingness to me.
Oh, really?
We met at a Sturgis festival where I took my motorcycle, and, you know, we hit it off really well because you know, I was lactating at the time, and so was she, and we laughed about it, and, you know, it was great, but, you know, we broke up. We broke up a little while ago. People think we broke up because she's fat as a cow, but really, let's be quite honest. I'm a bull. I love cows. No, we broke up because she looks like a wiener, and I don't eat meat.
Mm.
So we broke up. And I'll tell you how. I broke up with her via email, a la WWE, I wish you best on the future endeavors. And then I said, don't ever call me, and don't ever write a song about me, or I'll blow you up. And that's how we left it.
Wait, so Kelly Larson is single now?
Yes. Yes, she is. She's back to being an infidel human.
Yeah. With, you know, with obviously a beefy taste now, so.
I think that with the weight she put on, I probably have a chance.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll give you her number. You can call her.
Cool.
Wow, it's
don't be surprised if she talks in a manly voice, because they edit her voice while singing.
Really?
And they make her sound the way she does. Yes, really.
I
can you give us an example?
She sounds like a cross between Kermit the Frog and President Obama. It's ridiculous.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. No wonder America trusts her, you know.
Oh, there you go.
Well, not anymore, obviously, because she's been, you know, like, you know. But at the same time, I think this is tremendous news. So are you currently dating anyone special, or is it just more about the whores now, Muhammad?
No, now I'm just popping around from random, you know, from a random giraffe to a gorilla I told you about. I have a date with a penguin next week. Oh. It's going to be fantastic.
Oh my goodness! Is it really your life's work and goal? I mean, obviously you are a proud champion, you know, hater of infidels, but is it your life's work to basically just stoop all the, you know, all the beasts that are in nature's wildness?
I'm like a connoisseur of wine, except connoisseur of sex. I like to try everything once just to say I've done it. So that way I can know what the best kind is. Like, for example, have any of you guys ever gone down on a pig? I bet none of you have, but I have. And let me tell you, it's the greatest 3 hours you'll ever spend. Forget renting the Titanic. I'll tell you what happens. People die. I celebrate. But realistically, if you can spend time going down on a pig instead of watching that, do that. It's 10 times better.
I've never played the pig whistle.
Now, but just to clarify, when you say pig, you mean, you know, like actual oink oink in, you know,
rolling. Oh yeah, the good kind.
Okay,
not like a cop.
Okay, well I just wanted to make sure for the listeners out there right now taking notes, you know, like oh.
Okay, well if there's a listener out there writing this down, I hope they write this down too. Please drop dead right after you come to the show.
Right after.
Thank you.
Do you want them to actually drop dead during the show, or would it be after the show? Like after they buy perhaps some merchandise, some DVDs from the fine people at Smart Mark, some sort of T-shirt of some sort?
I would hope that they would spend all of their life savings, and then after seeing me in the ring, just say there's no point in living and drop dead right there.
That should be the end.
Like, I don't want the crowd to applaud after my match or boo after my match. I just want them to be dead.
Oh, that's,
is that too much to ask, really?
Not at all, actually. Not at all. That's something. I mean, that, I don't think that's much to ask at all. Now, Mike. Now, you of course are running this big show on the 8th. Are you worried, perhaps, about, you know, people not coming to the show because they'll be watching that awesome looking G.I. Joe movie?
Oh, really? The G.I. Joe movie comes out the same night?
It comes out the 7th, the day before. So you know.
And to think, I was worried about UFC. I mean, we've got G.I. Joe in theaters, and I'm worrying about two guys, like, humping each other and punching. Like, God.
I just want to make sure promoters understand all the factors that could be involved and, you know, like, what's going on that weekend. You know, Serena Miller as the Baroness or Muhammad. I'm picking Muhammad for the most part. But if there's a Muhammad Baroness combination, perhaps, that would be quite enticing.
What if G.I. Joe came to Interspecies Wrestling to fight Muhammad?
Oh, my. A real American hero?
I think it makes sense.
Oh, my goodness. Now, Muhammad, what do you think about this G.I. Joe character?
There's no such thing as an American hero. There are just American idiots. Just so you know that, okay? Make sure we make that very clear. Okay, I'm not scared of any G.I. Ho or whatever the hell you just said. I don't even know what that stands for. Is it a guy named Joe? I'd kill him. I don't care. It could be G.I. Steve. I'd kill him too. I don't really care.
G.I. Bro?
I have no idea what you're talking about. G.I. Bro. I'd probably strangle him with his big penis.
What the fuck?
Well, wow. You know, the sad thing is I was going to do a Misfits in Action reference, but now I can't think about G.I. Bro strangling himself on his own wang, so.
I want to cut in here and take back my little comment about the UFC being guys humping each other. Obviously, I don't think that.
So, if there's any idiots out there who would rather go watch humans killing humans, yay, and the retarded crap of two men rolling around trying to hump each other while punching each other in the face, instead of coming out to watch interspecies wrestling, please go shoot yourself right now. By all means, nobody's going to miss you. In fact, Darwin recommends that you remove yourself from the gene pool. Thank you.
Well, that's only smart when you think about it. If Darwin's going to sit there and, you know, basically survival of the fittest, and if they're going to sit there and people are going to be facing you, Muhammad, and possibly, you know, ending their life, I mean, that's a given right there. So,
a given, of course.
This has been tremendous, tremendous radio.
I got a question for Muhammad. When we interviewed John Tiger last month, we asked him about his vast array of technical maneuvers that he uses in the ring to put away his opponents. And I'm going to ask you the same question, Muhammad. You, of course, have two great moves called the legitimate gore and the stereotypical camel clutch. And I'm just wondering if you've been working on anything new that you might unleash on Stinky in Connecticut.
Well, there are other moves that I have used before. There's the utter cutter.
Nice.
My sweet Calcutta. The dirty bomb, I can't give away too much because I'm sure Stinky is walking around trying to listen to public radio to try and get this interview, and I don't want to give him any hints as to what may come.
That's good thinking.
He's probably like many homeless wrestlers, you know, posting stuff on the internet as we speak right now, saying, yeah, Stinky rules. You know?
If there's anybody, really, there are people posting that Stinky rules? People who aspire to be homeless?
I would think that, you know, Stinky is like one of them homeless wrestling, you know, like true life stories that people can really get behind.
He got booked for that Chikara Young Lions Cup coming up, so somebody's obviously a fan of him.
It's probably because he's very cheap. If you feed him, he'll be there.
That's true.
That's a good point.
He's homeless, for crying out loud. You know how he's probably going to get there? He's going to hitch and suck dick the whole way down.
If he's alive.
That's true. He could possibly be killed on the way there. But
I hope not. I want to be the one to kill him.
Mm. That's true. I mean, maybe you should possibly work on writing to the show with him just so you can, you know, set him up for his downfall, of course, coming up on August the 8th.
I don't want to waste gas taking him all that way. It's a long drive, and, you know, my girlfriend Penguin needs me around right about now.
Oh, my goodness. I have so many questions about Penguin sex right now. I don't know where to start, you know.
We'll talk later if you have to. Yeah, don't worry.
Mike, I got a question about the show. There's a man who won the matches I watched today, a referee named Masato Tanaka, who actually Muhammad threatened to kill during the match. And I was just wondering if Masato Tanaka, if you'll be bringing him with you as a referee for the Connecticut show.
Unfortunately, no, we will not be bringing Masato Tanaka with us to the United States, nor will we be bringing fan favorite referee Cockmouth.
No Cockmouth?
Cockmouth will not be there. We will be using local referees on that night.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry to anybody who expected to see Cockmouth, who actually last show asked me no longer to call him Cockmouth, so we changed his name to Dick Lips. I should reiterate there. You will not see Dick Lips, and you will not see Masato Tanaka.
Oh, that's disappointing.
No, have you found a referee that could be as good, though, as Dick Lips?
Man, I don't know.
Because obviously you're talking about, you know, lots of refereeing experience and, you know, potential. I mean, these could be potential victims right here for Muhammad.
I think one of our local referees is a ginger kid. And what referee do I want to pick on a ginger kid? So.
There's a ginger?
Dirty
I hate
ginger.
The gingers like I hate Mexicans. Oh. Oh, he's going down.
We've got Buck Hawk booked. What do you think of that, Muhammad?
Who?
Buck Hawk.
Buck Hawk? Are you serious? You have Buck Hawk there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow, why have those two gingers got together? Wow. I have to kill them before they get to discussing.
Muhammad, I got to say, maybe this show perhaps has a bad case of gingivitis. I'm raising the roof.
Dude, I would be raising the roof after an awesome line like that. I would be stealing it. I hope Muhammad, though, stops the gingers from breeding. So
I actually came up with a new name for the team of Vin Gerard and Buck Hawk that's going to be competing at Interspecies Wrestling, the worst that can happen on August 8th. I actually want to call them Gin Gerard.
God, that is quality.
I think it works.
It works very nicely. Oh. And they're facing the Bad Boys, who I don't know if you're fond of them, Muhammad, but I think they'll be taking care of business and they'll take out that ginger kid, no problem.
I you know, the Bad Boys and I have no real reason to hate each other outside of the fact they're humans. But they're humans who like to beat up other humans. And they do it every day. Like, you think that they just do that in the ring. They do that on their way to the show. They do that as they leave the show. You don't see it on camera. They just beat up humans all the time. So I really have nothing against that.
Actually, it's why this match is taking place. They actually beat up Vin Gerard as he was giving Buck Hawk a piano lesson.
Oh, that's right. You know?
That's right.
Who knew a homeless person like Vin Gerard actually knew how to play the piano?
He's got to get that money.
You got to. I mean, that's the thing. Really, Mike is doing us a favor here when you think about it, because he's hiring the homeless to basically, you know, wrestle for this promotion. So homeless people, dead guys, you know, terrorists. It seems like all people and all
trannies.
Is there a lot of trannies in Interspecies?
There is a tranny in Interspecies Wrestling.
Okay.
Please don't remind me.
That's right. Its name is Steve, and it sodomized Muhammad.
Oh, my God.
That never happened. It never happened, okay? I imagined the whole thing. I drank too much that night. That never happened.
Why would you want to imagine that?
Well, it's Spank Bank. I mean, you know, not that Muhammad
is one. I mean, it was a nightmare. I mean, shut up, my God. Never happened.
My goodness. Now, Mike, is there any sort of type of, you know, animal, creature, homeless person, any demographics that you would try and avoid using in Interspecies Wrestling?
I would never want to use a stingray because they killed the crocodile hunter.
Mm.
I don't want to see anybody get impaled in the ring.
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't discriminate. You know, we love everything. If it's gonna come into our ring for minimal pay and beat the shit out of something else, we're cool with it.
Wow. Alan, do you have some more questions for these two fine young men? Of course, I'm sorry, one fine young man and one cow, who
for the correction.
I didn't want to sit there and call you a man because you are more than a man. You're like man plus cow, and that.
I'm man bull. Thank you. Yes.
any more questions for these fine men?
I suppose just maybe since we didn't do it in the Twiggy interview, we might as well just Mike here just do one last rundown on the card. So. Mike, if you want to go, or will I?
I'll let you do it.
Okay, and you guys can just jump. Muhammad, if you've anything to say about any of these matches, feel free to jump in. And we've got the.
I enjoy listening to your accent.
Very nice, very nice. We've got the Interspecies Championship, Player Uno, or was it Player Crapo, I think you called him earlier?
Player Crap. Just call him Player Crapo.
I have a nickname for him myself. One time, he and I were forced to share a bed in a hotel room, and I woke up and he was spooning me, so I called him Player Spoono.
Truth be told, that's an actual story. Player Crapo spoons everybody. Everybody.
Really?
Yeah. He's a
snuggler. Everybody. It doesn't matter who it is.
Oh, my goodness. So this could be for the spooning championship of the world as well.
Yeah, he's a bit of a cuddle slut.
I think we all are down of our hearts, but...
Not
amen
me.
To that.
Not me. I bring the cheese and then I leave them.
So anyway, Alan, we were talking about the Interspecies Championship match. Of course, Player Uno, or Player Spoono, if
he'll
you will.
He'll be taking on Dragon Gate UA superstar, Hollow, who I've just noticed for the first time, his t-shirt actually the front of it makes a face with the holes in it. I had never noticed that before.
Yeah, it's actually his shirt is actually carved like a jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder if he just has the same shirt or if he has to do that over and over, like, before
every
match.
I've seen it get ripped up pretty bad, so I'm assuming he either mends that shirt or he has a whole closet full of them, like Inspector Gadget in the gray jacket.
That'd take some time to do. That's some dedication to your...
Oh, sorry, I was just going to say, I somehow don't believe that Hollow Wicked would mend his shirts. I don't see him sewing something. I'm sure he has infidels make him one.
Yeah, Frightmare. Maybe Frightmare is a little
exactly.
Sweatshop kid.
Yeah. Then we've got a triple threat match, and that will be pitting El Generico against another DGUSA performer, Jigsaw, and the one and only... You mentioned zombies earlier in the show, Muhammad, and Zombified is definitely one of the preeminent zombies in interspecies wrestling. He's recently just back from the dead, so it'll be interesting to see how he does in this match, if there's any like ring rust or whatever. And yeah, that's sure to be a great high-flying match. Okay, and we'll go on to... Go ahead.
Oh, no, I wouldn't worry about the ring rust. Bone rust is what he should worry about.
His bones might be brittle. He probably hasn't been drinking the milk or anything like that. He's probably not trained that much because he's just been too busy consumed with brains.
I just want to say that Zombified didn't actually die. He suffered a severe head injury. He was on the brink of death. Then he went to Haiti and met up with a voodoo priestess who healed him. So.
Oh, my
God. Wow. Very, very interesting story going on there. He's been true to ringer then by the sound of things, but luckily... For meeting that voodoo priestess, he's going to be ready to go, I guess, for the triple threat match. And then following that, we have a match we've talked about a great deal already in this interview. The other title will be on the line, and it will be our guest on the line, Muhammad, defending against Stinky the Homeless Guy. So I think we've talked about that enough. So unless, Muhammad, you have any last words for Stinky, if he's listening to this?
Oh, he's probably not listening to this. He can't afford the radio. But if he somehow gets a hold of this, prepare to die. That's really all I have to say is prepare for death. Say goodbye to everyone.
Very, very nice. And then we've got a match.
Sounds
line.
Like an Ego Montoya.
Go ahead, Alan. You were discussing the card.
Yeah, we've got a match I'm really looking forward to. The Bunkhouse Brawl, Come As You Are, Beef Wellington versus Twiggy.
That's right. I love Bunkhouse Brawls.
You can't go wrong with them. Like the old, no,
I'm all about the tight jeans with the knee pads over top, the brown cowboy boots, whatever rock band shirt you want to wear. You come dressed as you are in a pickup truck, and you just beat the shit out of each other, and the crowd goes home happy.
As Twiggy said when we interviewed him, he'll come in his regular clothes to the building, and then he'll change into his Come As You Are Bunkhouse Brawl clothes.
If that sounds like something Twiggy would do. I could see him showing up in his Ode to Macho Man tights.
Oh, that would be
those are brilliant.
And changing, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Then, of course, what else is on this huge card, Alan?
We've got Is He Dead Yet, another zombie, against the great Pinky Sanchez, Shiro Koshinaka's favorite wrestler in America. And that's sure to be a nice, fun match on the undercard. And,
yeah, definitely.
Now I do have a question for Mike here, because a few weeks ago, I'm surprised Alan has not mentioned this yet, as he, of course, is a member of the league. A few weeks ago, we had that giant tiger on the show, and he was talking about you, and he said some very unkind remarks about you. And I was just thinking, you obviously heard the show, because I know you're a fan of the show. And, you know, what were your thoughts on Giant Tiger, and is there any chance that we'll be seeing Giant Tiger in Connecticut on the 8th, and any chance possibly we'll be seeing some ass play between him and Pinky Sanchez?
Oh, man, let me tell you, Giant Tiger has only recently become this giant thorn in my side. I have no idea why. The man he's got issues, honestly, and he blames them all on me. I don't understand how he figures that his years of alcoholism, the man is older than me, and he's claiming that his years of alcoholism, which probably even started before I was born, are my fault. He claims that me booking him in that Alco Brawl match somehow took advantage of him. When somebody shows up every show drunk, like, they're going to be performing drunk every show, why is it wrong that I gave them a match that plays to their strengths? I don't see it here.
That's a good point. But so do you think, though, that we'll be seeing Giant Tiger coming up on August the 8th? Or is it something where the fact he's gone to so Hollywood that he's basically out of his price range?
I'm going to say that with Giant Tiger, okay, man, I don't even know how to say this, but basically for Connecticut, we have offered him as much as we humanly possibly could without completely breaking the bank and totally fucking ourselves over. We would have
I've been privy to this this contract offer, and the offer that was made to Fedor Emelianenko and his Russian mob compatriots by Dana White this week had nothing on this offer that was made to Giant Tiger. I'll just say that.
Exactly. We would have to draw upwards of like 500 people, which is, you know, absurd in this day and age with indie wrestling, to pay this man. And for what? For him to show up and insult everybody? And he's not a very pleasant individual, and I know, like, I do think he will be missed, and I think it's awful that he's not coming to Connecticut, but this is all his doing and none of ours.
Now, I mean, could it be something where maybe you bring in, like, a Giant Tiger replacement of some sort, or, like, you know, like Lassie, where one dies, you just, you know, find another one to stoop?
I don't think there's any way in the world to replace somebody as unique and... There is no other Giant Tiger in this world. The man is nuts, and he's completely one of a kind.
It'd be like that shitty fake Edison in Osaka Pro.
Yeah, we do not want a fake Razor Ramon.
Or a fake Kane. Imposter Kane.
Music's wrestling.
Oh, my goodness.
The next match on the card, we've got the Bad Boys against the dynamic duo of Jin Gerard, the piano-playing boys themselves. They'll be coming... probably just to take an ass kicking and collect their paycheck if they can even manage to do that after the beating they'll suffer, no doubt, from it's God. Brad and Chad, isn't it?
It is Brad and Chad, and despite the fact that they've been a part of Interspecies Wrestling since 2006, we still cannot distinguish between the two as to who is who. They are identical twins, of course, the Bad Boys, and they're going to be taking on, as you said, Jin Gerard, as they were just named right now. But they've been called many, many things leading up to this this show, including the Bad Boys' seemingly favorite, the Piano Faggots.
Wow. Now, I have to ask, will there be Piano Faggot t-shirts available for sale at the show?
Man, that would be amazing, along with those piano ties that Jimmy Hart used to wear.
Oh, my God.
Rick Springfield!
Get your heart out!
Oh, my God. You know, the only thing that would make, oh, wow. I just picture, though, the Bad Boys with their bunkhouse brawl type attire. I mean, and the fact that they're really, really hard to differentiate. I mean, I'm looking at a picture right now. I can't tell which one is which. It's not like they have any different scars or, you know, it's like looking in the wrestling mirror.
Yeah.
Speaking of looking in the wrestling mirror, we've got a Hydra taking on, not Jigsaw, but Jolly Roger, who bears a striking resemblance to Jigsaw. It's quite uncanny for people who, as Jigsaw said last week on the show, he's really only met this guy a couple of times and doesn't really care too much for him.
Now, Mike, is Interspecies Wrestling, you definitely have a lot of shapes, you know, sizes, creeds, and sexual orientations. You know, is it okay, I mean, given what we've seen this year with pirates, is it okay to have a pirate on the show considering what they've done in Somalia this year and the bad press they've gotten?
I think it's a whole different type of pirate, as in the pirates in Somalia are just, you know, they're out for nothing but gain, and Jolly Roger is a party pirate. He's all about partying.
Hmm. You know,
he's not about the whole swashbuckling, stealing your shit. He's about coming, getting crunk, and banging the broads. You know,
that's party pirate, which is a good time when you think about it. You know,
definitely,
that's a good time. Now, Muhammad, you know, we don't want to, you know, exclude you from this discussion. You've of course talked about giraffes, penguins, and everything else. But have you ever had, you know, a monster from the sea before?
I believe Hydra is the only one of his kind.
Yes.
So no, to answer that question, I would love to. It is my lifelong dream to stoop a giant squid.
Wow.
To because I just want to get engulfed by their loving, if you get what I mean. Yes.
Imagine getting a hand job from a fucking creature that has eight arms.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, think about it. The suction on those things? Oh, man. Whew.
Oh,
just thinking about it makes me want to have a cigarette right now.
They can give you a beach with their hand.
Wow. This
plus, they give you that look with their giant eye that, oh, yeah, you like it. Yes, yes.
And then I believe there's one more match, isn't that correct?
There is indeed. This is a rematch from, I think, was it Slamtasia 2, Mike?
Slamtasia 2, yeah.
Yeah, it will be Addy Starr against the one, the only, my compatriot in the league, Sexy Eddie.
You know, I'm pretty sure Sexy Eddie didn't have a bone to pick with me, as, of course, he probably feels I'm responsible for his good friend Giant Tiger not coming around. But as I mentioned, Giant Tiger marches to the beat of his own drum, and nobody can control him. And we made him, you know, a substantial offer. He turned it down. We're not going to fight this. We're not going to fight with him anymore over this. But Sexy Eddie versus Addy Starr, of course, the battle of the sexes, penis versus vagina. It's going to be interesting.
Who's your pick in this, penis or vagina?
I always pick vagina.
Is that Muhammad?
See, I don't know. Sexy Eddie is probably the only other creature alive that's boinked more species than I have. And that kind of experience you just can't beat, so I'm going to have to pick penis.
No, I mean,
I got to plug the original match between these two on the aforementioned Slamtasia 2 DVD. The commentary was actually done by our guest Muhammad, and it was so goddamn entertaining. I would absolutely encourage everyone to pick up that DVD just for that alone. Plus, you get
it was actually him and I.
Was it you and him? Okay.
It was.
And, yeah, that was just the funniest commentary I think I've ever heard.
These guys, if people have not checked out Interspecies Pro Wrestling, I mean, you know, like, this is a group that I think everyone should check out because it is so different from your norm. I mean, we're talking about this card, and you're seeing a lot of Chikara guys that are on the show, but there are a lot of awesome creations and characters, and more importantly, terrorist cows on this show. And really,
misunderstood cow. Not terrorists.
Okay, well, that's a good point. I'm sorry, you know.
With the Chikara guys on the card, we made sure to stick to booking people we've only used in the past so that it makes sense.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Continuity.
Like Hollow Wicked, Jigsaw, they were on our first show, as was Jolly Roger actually retired on our first show. This is his big return match.
Oh, my God.
Plus, you know, Hydra has been on a show in the past. You know, yada, yada, yada. People we've used in the past. The only person we haven't used yet is Pinky Sanchez. He was actually supposed to debut for us back in October, but something came up and he couldn't make it.
Do you think he was afraid of the man from Saudi Arabia?
He might have been.
I'm sure
everybody should be.
I know I would be. So do you have any other plugs, websites, stuff like that, Mike, you want to get out there?
Oh, of course, interspecieswrestling.com, you know, for all your interspecies needs, plus look us up on YouTube.
Yes,
I want to say that starting, I believe, Sunday, I don't know when this is going to air, but August 2nd, we're going to have a show up on hybridentertainmenttelevision.com. It's hybrident.tv. I don't know why I said .com there, but .tv. And it's going to be a show plugging the Connecticut show, and I think we're going to make this a regular thing. We're going to put up a pre-show before every big show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I like it when wrestling companies use the internets for their advantage.
Oh, I'm all about using the internet.
You know, that's good stuff. And I think we're going to have these guys back on. I mean, I think this has been two tremendous guests, Alan, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. This is really taking the cake. It's been a great interview. The time has flown by. I think we're approaching the hour mark, and it's felt like half that.
You know,
man, I just want to apologize for my little performance on here today. I'm kind of thrown off by how amazing Muhammad was on here.
I was, but we'll have you on in the future, Mike.
I've been laughing in between questions, like, oh my God.
You two infidels should consider yourselves lucky. You are the first humans to ever interview me via radio. Normally, I only go on Gorilla Radio, literally Gorilla Radio. They're fantastic. Gorillas and their radios, they're fantastic if you've never listened to it. So consider yourselves lucky that you got me on.
Oh, my goodness. And I think really, I mean, if it was up to me, Muhammad, we could possibly get you on every single week to talk about an interspecies wrestling story of the past, because those have
and
been...
And sex, of course.
Oh, no, that's why I didn't mean wrestling at all, because really, I don't even like talking wrestling on the show. It's rather more about animal stooping now, so...
Yeah, Muhammad's sexual half hour. It would be great, yes. Oh, give advice.
Oh, that would be,
that would be as good as the time Classy Freddy Blassie had a love advice show on WWF TV.
I think what we need to do is find us get a like a mailbag started where maybe we get on Muhammad maybe once a month just to give romantic advice
brilliant idea.
Or perhaps like there's this advice columnist in the States, the Dan Savage, who does the Savage Love, where we just take the letters from there, we add a few animals to them, and we have Muhammad answer it. We're gonna have to work on this. We're gonna have some negotiations. We'll get this done, because I definitely will work with misunderstood genius like yourself, Muhammad.
Yes, that's quite right. I am misunderstood, and I am a genius, so I'm not going to argue with that.
How can you argue with that? But, you know, if people want to see more Muhammad, where can people go?
If they want to fly to Saudi Arabia, I live on the third cave on One Bull Lane. You can mail me, however, no mail really comes to me. I believe I have a Facebook page, but I have no internet. Mr. Roch will probably know what that is.
Yeah, you can look him up on Facebook as Muhammad Terror Cow.
And that's fantastic. That's my name. That's beautiful. Because that's right to the point. It would have been only better if it killed all humans. But, you know, that's really about it right about now. I'm trying to get my cousin Al-Hamed to work on a web page for me, but he's incompetent, just like my brother.
Al-Hamed was dead.
No. That's Al-Hamed. The other Al-Hamed, you're spelling his name wrong. Al-Hamad, A-H-Flem-M-A-D. Hamad.
Okay.
Al-Hamed. Yeah.
I stand
Al-Hamad. Correct. He's working on my webpage.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, we've had a family lesson here on the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show. And more importantly, I think we've learned a lot this week on the program. So I definitely want to thank both Muhammad the Terrorist Cow and, of course, Mike Roch, El Presidente of Interspecies Pro Wrestling. Definitely check out interspecieswrestling.com. And definitely, if you are in the greater East Coast area and you have, you know, if you've already seen the G.I. Joe and don't want to see, I don't even know who's fighting on the UFC that weekend. And, Alan, don't tell us, because then that will actually drive people possibly to the UFC show.
Just say it's going to be a really shitty card.
It's going to be a very shitty card.
There's one UFC show you can skip this year. This will be the one. There's nothing happening. I think they're bringing back that Sean Gannon guy, the policeman. Yeah, no one wants to see that.
You know, it's going to be a letdown after the last UFC show. So definitely, I think what you need to do, definitely go to East Hartford, Connecticut, and definitely make sure you're out of the way of the Titan Towers that weekend, because that could be, you know, something, you know, there could be a wonderful American tragedy that weekend. And more importantly, some fantastic wrestling. What's the worst that could happen? Definitely want to thank both you, Mike, and Muhammad. Any final thoughts, guys?
No,
cow?
please go kill yourselves now. Thank you. Good. That would make my day. Actually, yes, if all the Americans could kill themselves, that would probably be good too.
No,
and not just
the
Americans,
people.
You know. People think I just hate Americans. I hate all humans, really.
So the
humans in Iran kill themselves. Every human, just as long as you all kill yourselves after listening to this, that would make my day. Thank you.
What do you think of the Irish, by the way?
Get drunk, then kill yourself.
Alan, you were the man.
But you're good at doing. Come on, man, really. Okay, fine. I stand corrected. Get drunk, hit a woman, then kill yourself. Yes.
For those taking notes at home, he did say, get drunk, hit a woman, then kill yourself. So, you know.
I'm going to get right on that.
It's good to see it's taken us 2 years to, you know, relive the Benoit tragedy. But
2 years, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Look, I hate how we ended this interview on a down note. But at the same time, we're going to be back right after this with Twiggy. So please stay tuned.
antidepressants, lesson episodes. What are West End boys in their hand-me-down clothes? Brag about fights on a high street light. She walks alone the long way home. And oh, she's a troubled soul. Oh, so troubled, but nobody knows.
Hey, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Good, good, good. So, big show coming up for you, Twiggy. We've got the Interspecies Wrestling, very first time going down into America, on Connecticut, or in Connecticut, on the 8th of August, I believe. And you will be wrestling Beef Wellington in a bunkhouse brawl. I assume you're looking forward to getting your hands on that young Mr. Beef.
Well, yeah, we've had a bit of problems in the past, and I hope that it can be resolved by wearing, you know, tight jeans, cowboy boots, various bandanas, all that jazz.
That was going to be one of my first questions, and what kind of, in the history of pro wrestling, we've seen lots of great come-as-you-are outfits for bunkhouse brawls and Texas Deathmatch and whatnot, so I was wondering kind of what kind of tact you'd be taking with that. Are you just going to go cowboy boots, jeans, bandanas, that kind of route?
Well, I'm probably going to show up to the show in my regular clothes, but then change into those clothes. Probably going to get a pair of new tight black jeans. I think they have to be tight.
Oh, yeah.
There's no other option than tight. And I got some really ugly brown cowboy boots I'm going to wear. Previously wore them once before, and I slipped wearing them. But it doesn't deter me. I will wear them again. And, yeah, got to find a bandana. I'm thinking maybe red. I think red is a bold color for the bunkhouse brawl.
Mm. Now, have you thought? I mean, I've seen your work in the past, and one of the things I really enjoy about watching Twiggy is the enormous amount of fringe. I mean, are you going to have time before August the 8th to really assemble an army of fringe around those tight black jeans at all? You know.
So, you know, I was looking at my wrestling gear yesterday, and I was a little disappointed that I'm not going to be getting to wear it in Connecticut. It's like, man, I could wear it in the bunkhouse brawl, but I don't want to damage it. Very nice clothing. If I can find someone to put tassels on the jeans, I think I'd be all for that. I think it would be something people would enjoy, and they wouldn't call me gay at all.
Oh, no, no, because it's not. It's really just showing your manliness from fringe.
Exactly.
When you think
I think
Shuji Kondo wears fringe, so that's as manly as they come. So you
just the history of
it, too.
Yeah, exactly. Ultimate Warrior, Davey Boy Smith, big, huge men with big, bulging biceps, and, you know, Twiggy bringing that back, you know, bringing it back for the smaller guys like you and
exactly.
I
exactly, bringing
basically.
It back minus the bulging biceps, minus bulging anything.
Well, I mean, it depends on how you do it. It depends on what kind of moves the Beef Wellington will be doing on you. I mean, here's a former trainer of yours, and the fact that, you know, like, when you were training with Beef, were there any chance, I mean, did he actually teach you anything about bunkhouse brawls at all? Did you sit there and have maybe one afternoon before, like, the tea and crumpets where you guys basically practiced the art of wrestling the bunkhouse brawl style? And more importantly, have you been boning up on your bunkhouse buck tapes?
Bunkhouse Buck, I love Bunkhouse Buck. I'm a big Bunkhouse Buck fan. As for Beef, he never taught us anything about the bunkhouse brawl. I plan on teaching him something about a bunkhouse brawl. I hope I get the chance to take my boot off and really, really whale him with it.
Just make sure you hit the boot down a few times beforehand so you can load it a little bit more.
Of course, I will do this exactly.
Iron Sheik style.
Oh, dude, it literally, like, you know, I was watching some ECW with Raven where he kept on trying to, like, you know, sit there. This is the thing you do with the boot. You just keep on bashing it down, and eventually, like, I don't know if there's, like, some sort of sawdust or some sort of miracle inside that cowboy boot, but that's how you basically load that boot, and that's how you're going to defeat Beef coming up on the big, huge debut on American soil. Because, I mean, you guys, you know, I know that you had that match with Player Uno at King of Trios this year, but this is going to be a big, huge shot in the arm of all of Connecticut wrestling. I mean, are you looking forward to basically showing us what you got in front of the American sycophants?
I'm really looking forward to this show. I think in the grand scheme of things, I think this is probably the biggest deal that ISW's ever done. Like, we've had the invite matches at Chikara and that stuff, but I mean, just a chance to put on our own show. I would personally like if there were a few more ISW guys on the show just to get, like, a real ISW feel, but I mean, you know, sometimes that can't happen, and there's people, they have plans, and they can't make it and all that stuff, and they have other bookings, but I think the show is going to turn out great no matter what happens. The fans seem to be really digging the card, and that's all you can ask for, and I really hope that we can leave a lasting impression, kind of like maybe a bad taste in your mouth, but a good bad taste.
Well,
like a blue cheese taste is what I think you're going for right there. The only worry that I have is the fact that if he does come over the border to the Americas, that possibly he will never, ever go back to Canada at all. Like, that he basically will become a prince somewhere in Connecticut with, like, some sort of, you know, perhaps some handmaidens, like 12 or 13 wives and such, and perhaps a whole next generation of giant tigers.
He might get a job at Titan Towers, and God knows where that could lead.
He has been going back and forth between Montreal and Hollywood. If he can survive in Hollywood, I know he's got his agent now. He has an agent. He's trying to secure some big deals for himself. I've heard he wants to dabble in television.
as we all do.
He's working on a pilot right now.
Oh, my goodness. I heard he was actually
working on... Sorry, excuse me.
No, please. You're the guest here. I should just be
No,
quiet.
No. He's working on writing a pilot.
Oh my goodness. I hope Alan is one of the key players, and I hope it's actually a CGI'd squirrel for some reason or another.
Well, he can pull out the Irish whip on the pilot.
The Irish whip.
That's my specialty.
That's a beautiful thing right there.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing in the Irish whip, man. It's the most devastating tag team combination to ever hit the world.
It's good that we have you on this week. Of course, we were speaking with Twiggy from Interspecies Wrestling, a fantastic wrestling organization. If people have not checked this out yet, they are really missing out, because I thought Canada was a great land when it came to maple syrup from my flapjacks, as I like to call them. And, you know, I wasn't sure about how the Canadian wrestling scene was, but thankfully young Alan here turned me on to this ISW, and I'm enamored by this group, and we have, of course, young Twiggy. And definitely, if you are in the Connecticut area, and I know that I have a big, huge listening population in Connecticut, because that's what all these rating sheets tell me, that you'll definitely check it out, because this is a huge packed show. I mean, the fact that there's going to be a there's going to be a bunkhouse match right here. I mean, you know, I don't know what the rules are, if Connecticut has a state athletic commission, but I mean, this could be one of them unsanctioned, unadvertised, even though it's already advertised, matches that really breaks through all the walls of pro wrestling, and perhaps this will steal the show and perhaps make Twiggy a household name somewhere in Connecticut.
Keith, I was just going to say, Twiggy better hope there's an athletic commission, because after Beef's encounters, so to speak, with Giant Tiger, like, God knows what he may have contracted. So,
I believe they'll be tested beforehand.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to know a little bit more about this than we would. But, I mean,
I would really hope that Beef is clean now. I wrestled him back in April. He seemed all right. You know, for what it's worth, I'll give him this. For a man that's been violated by Giant Tiger, he keeps himself together pretty well. I have to give him that.
It's Tiger. Tiger knows how to work the body like that.
That's it. He's a very sensual man. He's not a greedy lover. I'm sure he gave as much to Beef as he got.
Now, the last time that you and Beef faced each other, you know, he actually had one up on you, because he had knowledge about your family and your little lady being Italian, the fact you had that big, huge Easter Sunday brunch. What do you plan on eating before the match coming up on the 8th? I mean, is there any sort of, you know, dietary guide plans to hopefully, not be...
No, sorry, continue your question.
oh, well, I just want to make sure that your gut is okay and that you do not have all them damn gut busters and basically lose your lunch cloudy style.
Exactly, and that was unfortunate. I plan to probably eat. I'm hoping to get a really good burger somewhere. I'm hoping there's this place just around, like, the venue that, like, is known for good burgers in Connecticut or, like, good hot dogs or just something very fast food-like, but not so much a McDonald's or Harvey's or anything like that. Or Harvey's, you guys don't have that there, excuse me. Maybe just a really solid burger, bacon, cheese on it, and I'll take it from there. I'll take it from there, I think.
Mm. But you don't want to stuff yourself beforehand.
No, I definitely don't want to eat two burgers. That'll be the real downfall. As long as I can eat a good burger and hit a bathroom before the match, I think I can be okay, because that was my problem last time. I ate lasagna and meat cutlets and salad and heavy dessert, and then I went home and slept. And that was a huge mistake, because then I woke up groggy and full. Then I had to take the subway all the way to the venue, and that's not a very smooth ride, so things were gurgling in the stomach, and then we ate hot dogs at the show. And that was just a huge mistake. And I really want to place the blame on myself for that loss. I don't want to think it was so much Beast genius tactics, except for maybe the gutbusters. That hindsight was a good idea, but I think I was the ultimate downfall to that. That and the Italian food.
Oh man, the damn Italian food! That'll always get you.
It's so delicious, though. It is so good.
Very tasty, but at the same time, it was your downfall before, and hopefully it won't be your downfall with the Buckeyes. You know what I would actually suggest? This is going to be like, I don't usually suggest stuff that much on the show, but what I suggest is possibly, you know, like, you know, you have, you know, the Bon Jovi music play and come in from the one of the sides of the crowd dressed up like a hot dog vendor, and then you could actually attack him with hot dogs, with sausages, and actually eat some as well. So that way you get your pre-match sausage.
I'm a big supporter of eating food. I can't bring myself to waste food like that, especially because my favorite food is hot dogs. I know a lot of people laugh at that, but I mean, it's almost the perfect meal because you don't have a hot dog often. You don't really say, well, that was terrible. You eat a hot dog and you're kind of happy afterwards. So wasting a hot dog is something I'm really not keen on doing. If I could waste the buns maybe I could do. But
yeah, if you
know,
get, like, stale buns that kind of get all hard, and you can just, like...
Exactly. If the food has gone bad, there's really no option other than to use it as a weapon. Just hit beef with wieners.
That'd be tremendous. You know what you could actually do? You know, I know you don't want to lose, you know, I know you don't want to waste hot dogs. You could actually give the hot dogs out to the crowd and have them hit beef with it and then enjoy the hot dog afterwards. You know?
Eating a hot dog off the floor, though?
Well, I mean, I think you get a hose, you wash them off real quick, you know?
Well,
no.
I think this all can be found out. I mean, at the end of the day, I think we can all agree a non-floor hot dog is the way to go.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think you protect the hot dog for some reason or another. You know, like, you know.
I couldn't do that.
I'm just going to say this right now. You get one of them, like, bagel dogs, you know, use it as a weapon, and then take the bagel off, and you still have the hot dog underneath.
What is a bagel dog? That sounds wonderful.
Oh, you've never had the bagel dog before?
I've never had a bagel dog. You're in Chicago, aren't you?
I'm in Chicago, and we prefer lots of stuff on our hot dogs, but they actually have these things called bagel dogs, which is basically, like, imagine a bagel and hot dog hybrid. That's what
I like that idea, because you guys really know how to do a hot dog. It's one of my dreams in life to eat a Chicago hot dog, because it looks so delicious. I had seen a documentary on hot dogs on PBS. And it just looked wonderful, the Chicago hot dog. You guys got the tomato and the pickle on it, and I'm really envious that we don't have that here. I mean, we could make it, but it wouldn't be authentic.
No, you would have
so
to...
I envy that you can eat one whenever you want.
I usually like to eat them pre-interviews, but today I did not. So.
Isn't that a hot dog place like CM Punk and like Colt Cabana always talk about in Chicago that like the waitresses curse at you and Ricky Reyes got into a big fight with?
That is the Wiener Circle in Chicago. That was a tremendous place due to the fact that, you know, it is staffed by large African-American women who will yell, you know, cocksucker at you, motherfucker, and basically some of the unnicest people you'll ever met. But to really, really the place to go in Chicago Chicago for a hot dog is Hot Dogs on California, because they have
to. And I've heard that you guys really, really frown upon ketchup on the hot dog.
Oh, it's hated here. Like, I don't even think I have a bottle of ketchup in the house.
Wow. Oh,
that's crazy. I don't like ketchup on the hot dog, but I like ketchup, just not so much on hot dogs. On a French fry, I love ketchup on French fries.
Oh, you do it on a French fry potato, it's delicious, but you do it on a hot dog. In Chicago, you get frowned upon. It's, you know, you basically get the Batista, like, thumbs down from people, and then you get powerbombed horribly.
That's really wacky. But me, I'm all about the mustard. I love mustard on a hot dog. Oh. Here, it's mustard and coleslaw usually, which I guess would be more like sauerkraut down there, or is that more of a New York thing?
That's more of a New York, like a Southern thing. What we do in sauerkraut in the Midwest is we do the bratwurst. We do the bratwurst with a little sauerkraut on top of it. So, you know, that's very, very, very tasty. I'm starving right now. You know, we should be really talking about your career and such, but this has turned into culinary delight. And I don't even know, Alan, do they even have hot dogs in on the island?
Not as big a deal over here as they are in America, but, like, you can certainly get them in any supermarket, grocery store, and I like them. I don't have them very often, but whenever I do, whenever I get together with friends for, like, a UFC or something like that, and we order a lot of food, I always try and get a hot dog, because it's a once-in-a-while nice thing, but I absolutely have to have ketchup on it. I can't imagine eating a hot dog without it. It'd be so dry.
This man is losing it, folks.
He really is. Like,
turned him crazy.
It was doing good. I got a question for you, Twiggy. Since we'll go back to talking about pro wrestling and all sorts of other stuff. Now, going up with this Bunkhouse Street Fight, are you going to be wearing any tap-out gear or any affliction gear for this?
I don't even know what that is.
Fantastic. That's the correct answer in this case.
That's what I'll be going with. I'm just going to be – I might tape my fist up, but I want to maybe save some of my tape. I don't like to waste tape, so probably just the wrists, not the fists.
Dude, you know what? Tape up one fist, but have some fringe hanging off of it. So you could be called fringe fist.
If someone can supply me with fringe, I'd be all the way down to that fringe and tassels. I'm completely down.
Are you even better? Have you ever thought about this? And I had to be in Mid-South when they used to do, like, the fans pick the weapons. This was always my weapon of choice. Have someone come in and get some hot taffy, and then have them do a fist and dip their hand into hot taffy. Have the fist come off, cool off the taffy, and then you'll have to be known as Taffy Fist.
But it's also a delicious treat, too.
Oh, that's true. And very sticky as well. So imagine you get that punch in, and, I mean, it's good sticking on someone for quite a while.
I think the stickiness, though, at the end of the day, would hinder the performance. Because, you know, like, sometimes you get something sticky on your hands. You really don't like that feeling. Me, personally, it drives me crazy. Glue or, you know, food that, like, candy, anything like that, it really drives me nuts. So I think the stickiness would end up working against me. That would be the ultimate downfall. For some reason, food seems to be my ultimate downfall at every match.
Tweed, I'm looking at the card here. I'm trying to see what would be the main event. And, like, obviously you've got the title match, and then you've got the other title match and the big triple threat match. Really, there's about four or five things that could be considered the big main event on this show. What do you consider? What is to Twiggy the big match on ISW's Connecticut debut?
That's a tough question, because it's a very, very solid card top to bottom. I think the main event, the official main event, is probably going to be the title match. The match I'm looking forward to watching is the triple threat match with Generico.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of very, very, very smart wrestlers in it. Well, maybe not zombified. He's kind of stupid because he's a zombie.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think at the end of the day, that's going to really tear the house down.
All very much in-form guys there. Jigsaw has been tearing it up a lot recently, and Zombified's a bit of a mystery. You don't know what you'll get from him, since, as you mentioned, he is a zombie, but I'm sure he'll be...
I thought he was dead. I was with Giant Tiger. I thought he was gone.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't really discount zombies, though, in interspecies
wrestling.
That's
true, that's true. Because, I mean, if they died once, sure, they can come back to life again. Am I crazy, or is that a little... Does that make sense?
I
believe it does.
Because, I mean, basically, you just keep on killing them, but at the same time, unless you kill the brain and such, they're still going to be around and wrestling in three ways.
Exactly, exactly.
You know?
As for the winner, I think I'm going to have to be a little biased and go with Generico. He's my good friend. I think he's probably going to win.
Now, you and Generico, of course, you know, Generico was one of the guys that trained you. Did you ever get to see his hideous face?
I've seen his face a couple times, and he's a very handsome man.
Okay, well,
he's a handsome man.
to know. I was hoping that you would never, ever seen his face, and it would be a mystery to you as well.
Well, he didn't know I saw his face. I've never told him that I have. He doesn't understand English, but I saw him one time. We were at the training, and there used to be showers there. It doubled as a pornography studio as well, so they had showers, rightly so. So he was in the shower one time, and I went to, to urinate, and he came out, and he didn't notice that I had seen his face, but I had, and I got to say, I was a little taken back. For an instant, I thought I was gay.
for an instant, I mean, does that happen a lot in the backstage area of interspecies wrestling where you just think for a moment you could possibly be a homosexual?
Well, there is, it's naive to think there isn't nudity. Giant Tiger, I hate to be the obvious name here, but Giant Tiger, naked a lot backstage. I've seen him kiss men backstage in altercations. I've seen him expose himself. I've seen him gratify himself in front of people, and he thinks it's hilarious.
He must have great fun with the studios, as you mentioned. Also being there.
These studios, they no longer exist. This was a couple of years ago.
Oh, that's a shame.
If these studios were still around, he would just be having the time of his life.
The young ladies probably wouldn't know what to make of him.
Would he go after the ladies? Would he go after the men? I think with Giant Tiger, it's just the whole as a whole.
One team that we haven't mentioned that will be on this card are the Bad Boys, who this is definitely their first time in America. They've never been there before.
I've never seen these fellows ever.
No, and they are... I would not like to be in the boots of young Vin Gerard and Buck Hawk. They've already received one beating while attempting to play the piano, I guess. And this could be a long night for them. Do you expect the Bad Boys to... because obviously they're gonna not waste too much time with devouring Vin and Buck Hawk. So do you think they might take some time to terrorize the audience like they did on a recent ISW show?
Well, I really think that's, like you said, the Bad Boys, their way to do the match is they get in and they get out. They like to do it quick, and we've seen that time and time again. They're going to be obviously riding their motorcycles across the border into Connecticut looking for biker sluts in America. Vin Gerard and Buck Hawk, they've been beaten up a couple of times by the Bad Boys, and I wouldn't expect anything different. Maybe they've been meeting up and having some secret, sessions of trying to figure out how to take out these big trees. That's the only way I can really explain the Bad Boys. They're like two big trees, and the only way you can do it, you got to chop a tree down. So if that's what they're looking to do, I think they might succeed. But at the end of the day, the Bad Boys, they're undefeated, and there's a reason for that.
And I hope the Bad Boys aren't scared and really getting pumped for this match a little bit too much, because I'm looking at the graphic for this match, and the Vin Gerard Buck Hawk team looked without a doubt like I'm just looking at this profile picture of Vin and Buck together, or the Vin and Buck Express, and I'd be worried if I was the Bad Boys, because Vin looks like he is, admiring Buck, and Buck is doing some nice posing.
They look like manly men. They really look like
manly men. They really do. Like if I could sit there and have this as the temple of man, it would be these two guys together.
Like I said, I think if they want to work together to win, they can. But they're two very different men. Vin Gerard is a very sour individual, and Shane Hawk is a very annoying man. So I don't think the two can coexist. It's going to be like the mega powers exploding without mega powers.
Or Elizabeth, who would be the Elizabeth in this case? Please say it's not Giant Tiger.
That is a hard one. That's a hard one. That's a very hard one. I don't think there is an Elizabeth. I don't think either has felt the touch of a woman. That's maybe why Vin Gerard's so angry. Shane Hawk, just no woman would ever want to touch him. He's so pale and redheaded. He has no eyebrows.
And I hear no pubic hair.
I wouldn't surprise me. I that's one person I don't want to see naked. Guys who are okay with things, we can sometimes tolerate male nudity. Staring, but it's like roadkill. You look at it, and you don't like it, but it doesn't make you go crazy. But Shane Hawk is one person whose genitals I don't want to see.
No.
His genitals are definitely possibly easily comparable with roadkill.
Exactly. That's how I would compare it. That's the best way to put it.
We will leave them to Mitch Ryder.
Oh.
All right, then.
Alan, take over. I gotta get this call real quick. Hold on.
No problem. Okay.
It might be Giant Tiger.
It might be. Okay, Twiggy. So, we've got that match, and one match we haven't talked about is Is He Dead Yet versus Pinky Sanchez. Is this Pinky's first time in ISW?
I believe so. He was supposed to come up to Montreal a couple months ago, but I think there were scheduling conflicts at the last minute, so he didn't get a chance to. I think he's going to have his hands full. Izzy Dediat's a pretty devious individual, and I don't know a lot about Pinky Sanchez. I know that he has a coat very similar to mine, so I can't say anything bad against him, but I'm sure the fans will be entertained by that. The clashing personalities, I think, is really going to make the match what it will be.
Yeah, Pinky's all about the ass-based offense. So that's, if Izzy Dejet has been... I don't know if zombies like to scout or if they even like have like VCRs or DVD players that they can burn through the footage in the late-night hour of their upcoming opponents. But if he has been, hopefully he'll be watching out for all of Pinky's... butts and whatnot, because they are definitely lethal maneuvers. He puts it to use like a few others in the wrestling business have ever.
Well, if you're good at something, you might as well exploit it. That's what I would say. If you're good at doing something, exploit it.
For sure, he is.
Because eventually, it's gonna work in the end.
He's ISW's resident Shiro Koshinaka for all the Japanese wrestling fans. But yeah. So the card is definitely it's one that people definitely have to go out their way to see, and it should be out on DVD pretty soon after happening. The turnaround is normally quite quick, isn't it?
Yeah, ISW is really, really good. Fortune Video Editing really does a great job at putting those shows out quickly. I think the Warped Tour show that just happened a couple weeks ago was supposed to be out for Connecticut, but I think there were some problems with the tapes. I'm not sure. I know everything is fine now, but unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be available to be on sale at the show, but I recently saw the cover of the DVD, and let me tell you, just the cover alone is worth the money.
The cover of, I believe it was Slamtasia 2, the last DVD I got, and that cover was just unreal. So good. It was like up there with the best Chikara covers that I've seen.
Yeah, they had a really good artist doing that one. I think at the end of the day, ISW can be proud for a lot of things, and their covers are just fun. They're eye-catching. It's not your run-of-the-mill wrestling DVD cover. I think the covers they put out are quite nice. We're talking about DVD covers. How about that?
Yeah, it'll beat hot dogs. Or does it, actually? The hot dog discussion was pretty fun. But Twiggy, let's go back to something Keith mentioned earlier, and that was your match in Chikara this year. It was the ISW offer match at King of Trios, where you took on Player Uno for the Interspecies title. And I personally thought that was a really, really good match. It was one of my favorite singles matches, definitely, of the whole King of Trios weekend. And that's saying something, considering there's guys like Austin Aries, Eddie Kingston, all had Arcana and El Generico. Great singles matches on that weekend. And I really thought you and Player Uno had a great match. And what were your memories of that? How did you feel it went? And yeah, were you just happy with it overall? Hello?
Is he still there? Yeah, Twig Forth.
Oh, I think he's gone. Okay, I'll try ringing back.
Oh, no.
We can edit this out or leave it in, whatever.
You always leave it in. So okay. What you could do is, I think there's a button up there so you could pause it.
Okay, well, I've almost got him back, so it's grand.
Hello.
You're back, sir. Good stuff. Okay, did you hear...
I don't know what happened there, but it's quite all right.
No, did you hear any of the question I asked you about the Chikara match, or will I just start over with that?
I didn't hear anything about the Chikara match. The last thing I remember saying was, how about that, we're talking about DVD covers.
Okay, well, I was just going to ask you about a match Keith mentioned earlier, your match, the ISW offer match in Chikara, King of Trios this year, and personally, I thought that was an unbelievable match. It was one of my favorite matches of the whole weekend.
I appreciate that, thank you.
Yeah, right up there with, like, there were some great singles matches on King of Trios weekend, like Eric Cannon against Generico, and Austin Aries against Eddie Kingston. I thought your match with Player Uno was just as good as them. And, yeah, how did you feel that match went? Were you happy with it? And any thoughts, memories of it?
I have no complaints with the match. I think it was pretty entertaining. I mean, I thought we were in a really tough spot on the show because at that point we were a semi-main event and the fans had pretty much seen everything they were going to see.
Was that night two?
That was night two. Yeah.
Oh, that was after the Ibushi match then, wasn't it?
Exactly right. I was watching that match backstage, and I was like, oh, my God, this guy is just an incredible wrestler. He's better than Player Uno and me. That's a given. I can't, nothing against Uno. I'm putting myself down in that one, too. He's an incredible athlete. But I'm watching that, and I'm watching the rest of the show, and I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do to win these fans over? All I've got is Bon Jovi at this point. Luckily, nobody else had used Bon Jovi. So yeah, we went into the semi-main event after the fans once again had seen pretty much everything they're going to see, and I really believe we gave them a different match. We didn't go out there and, you know, we didn't tear the house down by any means, but I think we delivered a different match. We gave a very solid competitive encounter. I think the fans really enjoyed it. I've seen the match, and I could be mistaken, but some of them give a standing ovation, which is completely fine with me. I think at the end of the day, they went home happy, and they didn't think, well, ISW sucks.
Yeah, no, I think it was definitely a fine representation of the company, and as I said, I enjoyed it a lot.
I wish there could have been some more ISW involvement in it, like maybe throwing a Bamboo, a Giant Tiger, a Muhammad, a Stinky. There really should have been a trio, considering
some of the trios that there have been in past King of Trios, like that team from Hawaii that was just the worst thing in the history of wrestling. Or Team Dr. Keith, indeed. But yeah, I think there could have definitely been a nice trio of ISW guys that would have fit nicely into the tournament. So yeah, that's a good idea. Maybe next year.
Yeah, that's exactly it. The good thing is there's always next year. I don't know. I can see a zombie team, something with Bamboo. I don't know if I'll ever be back, but for me, the best part is wrestling in the ECW arena. I know I said this in a written interview recently. A lot of people, like, they don't seem to care wrestling there. I don't get to wrestle there often, so when I do, to me, it's a big deal. I'm a big-time fan of wrestling there. Just history is just seeped into the ground of that place, and I just think it's incredible to wrestle there.
Keith, you got anything?
I got some questions for this young man. So these were questions that were recommended by me from a young man that's a huge fan of the IWS. He wanted to do a fuck, marry, kill with you, if you're familiar with the concept.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Fuck, marry, kill, Natalie Portman, Gina Carano, or Frank Costanza?
Okay. Mary, I'm going to go out on a limb, Natalie Portman, because I am in love with her. I guess I'm going to have to fornicate with this Gina female who I just got introduced to last night. Mike Rod showed me a picture of her, and I said, who is that? Well, she's an MMA fighter, and I was blown away. She's too pretty to be fighting other women. Oh, that sounds a little chauvinistic.
Well, she's fighting a crazy giant Brazilian woman.
And I'm going to find the loophole here. I will kill Costanza because he is a fictitious television character. I would never kill Jerry Stiller.
Tremendous.
That's a good
Jerry Stiller. I love Jerry Stiller.
He's a fantastic entertainer, that man. So, if there was any one song in the world you can get a lap dance to, what would be that song and why?
Oh man, there's a lot of good songs that strippers can be naked to. Just, I guess maybe by default, I want to say Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard. Because it's like, it's got a good feel to it, good vibe. I think I'm going to go with Pour Some Sugar on Me. Or maybe Cherry Pie by Warren.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, that's also, Warren, one of my favorite bands. I encourage anybody to go out there and listen to anything that isn't Cherry Pie, because they're a very good rock and roll band. Me and El Generico, huge Warren fans.
I know you know about that secret down in Uncle Tom's cabin.
I love that song. I know a secret that I just can't tell.
No, I know who hit the body.
In the wishing well.
One good thing comes
that
from
was,
this...
This is a great moment in history of time.
If one good thing comes from this interview, it will be that I will be downloading or purchasing a lot of Warren songs when we're done.
I would love that. If I can convert one person to a Warren fan today, I would be happy.
Oh, tremendous. So,
a very touching moment.
I think Jamie Lane right now is listening, possibly getting some Botox, and very, very happy about all of the events of this interview.
He is drunk right now. He is drunk somewhere right now, in a bar, telling somebody how he used to be in Warren.
Oh boy, I'm out of questions for our very good guest, of course, Twiggy. Definitely check out interspecieswrestling.com.
We definitely do have one more thing. Some of the things you've mentioned, I figured you listened to our interview with Giant Tiger a couple of weeks ago, and he told us a story about you and how you fixed his car when you were driving down the highway listening to Rush. Yeah, that's it.
Exactly.
Listening to Rush, and the car broke down, and you got out, you fixed that car, and then you slammed the door shut, which really stole John Tiger's heart, particularly the slamming of the door. And do you have any auto mechanic experience, or is something that comes natural to you? And
I got taught how to change a tire by my gramps a few years prior to that, and very awkward car ride. Like, I had tried to initiate conversation at first. He really wanted no part of it. He kept smoking. He just smoked a lot of cigarettes. Like, you know the ashtray in the car, like you see people and they're just overflowing with the cigarette butts? That's what Giant Tiger's car is.
He wasn't courteous enough to, like, do it out the window or anything like that? No,
he had the windows closed. The only time he spoke to me is, I opened the window, he told me, if you're going to keep that effing window open, you better close it a little bit. It scared me a little bit, so I kept it open just enough so I could get some real oxygen, because I don't smoke. So the tire, it catches a flat, I don't know what did it, and he's looking at it befuddled, so I figure, well, like, we were going to a show. I wanted to get to the show, so I offered my services. I didn't slam the door. I don't know why he said that. I never slammed the door. At that point, we weren't listening to Rush anymore. We were listening to Poison. So I think he's a little mistaken there. And we didn't do that much talking on the way back, to be honest.
Because you're enjoying the Poison.
Exactly. I mean, we spoke a little bit. It broke the tension a bit. We talked about tires and... He was kind of telling me about things, about why he doesn't like beef. And then later on the night, he told me, he goes, if we ever have another show together, we should definitely think about going down. And I thought, all right. I think that's really why Giant Tiger, he dislikes everybody, but I think he dislikes me the least. Maybe it's because I don't stick my nose into his business. I remember one time in Ottawa, we were doing a show for a company called C4. I believe their address is c4wrestling.ca. There's a cheap plug for them. And he had been introduced as a secret entrant into a four-way match, and I got the opportunity to wrestle him for the first time. And once again, after the show, he walked up to me and he said, Twiggy, I'd really love to wrestle you one day. I think he was just confused because we had just wrestled each other.
Tremendous. Twiggy, any plugs for yourself as opposed to C4 that you want to get out there to end the show or to end the interview?
Okay. Connecticut, I'm going to be bringing my one final large t-shirt, so if someone wants to buy that t-shirt, I've had that for a while. Once again, Interspecies Wrestling in Connecticut, August 8th. They're going to be doing a show in Montreal at their home at the Fufun Electric, August 23rd. I'm also wrestling for the International Wrestling Syndicate all the time. That's IWSWrestling.com, another great promotion out of Montreal. I think that's it. I don't have a website or anything, but I have MySpace. I don't go on it often anymore because I think most of Canada, we're all over Facebook now. I don't know if that's the same thing in America. I know you guys still love the MySpace still. And the Twitter
now. It's mostly about the Facebook, I would think, first and foremost. And then,
Is number one because the MySpace profile is just overloaded with stuff now. It's not convenient anymore. I still go on it. If people want to, you know, add me as a friend, I will graciously click accept. Unless I accidentally click deny, then you can send it again because it's happened before and I felt terrible.
Whoops.
Exactly. That's what it is. It's whoops. Well, I don't feel terrible. I go about my normal day. I say, well, I didn't mean to click deny.
Nice.
And I think somebody's calling on my other line, but disregarded.
Oh, but I think it could be Giant Tiger, maybe asking for a ride or something like that, though.
He has a phone. You know? He doesn't have a phone.
That's a good point.
I don't think he has a phone. I think when he was talking to you guys, it may have been on a payphone. He did get a phone. I might be wrong.
Yeah, we usually communicate our league business through a couple of cans tied together with some wire.
Well, he is Hollywood now, so...
good times. But Twiggy, I definitely want to thank you for being on the Dr. Kiepel-Pinsky show this week, and we'll be back right after this.
It was my pleasure.
No, it was our pleasure. More Fringe, and please stay tuned.
And welcome back to the final segment this week here on the Dr. Kiepel-Pinsky Show at WrestlingObserver.com. Definitely want to give our very special thanks to El Presidente Mike Roch, Muhammad the Terrorist Cow, and Twiggy for the work of these three gentlemen. Definitely check out SmartMarkVideo.com. Definitely check out the Interspecies Wrestling website, which is, of course, InterspeciesWrestling.com. And, of course, if you are on the East Coast and really want to see some great wrestling and, more importantly, some tremendous comedy, check out, of course, The Worst That Could Happen, August 8th, 2009, in, of course, the hotbed of pro wrestling, as we like to call it, East Hartford, Connecticut. It is going to be what should be a fantastic show. So, and these guys definitely deserve your wrestling bucks because they are entertaining as shit. You would agree, Alan, right?
Absolutely. I've bought a couple of DVDs and haven't been disappointed at all. You get really funny wrestling. Some occasionally, like, they put on, like, really good matches as well. Like, they'll
cares about that shit, Alan?
It's not just a crazy, crazy, ridiculous comedy. And there's always just commentary that will make you split your sides. It's so funny. They put up, like, Giant Tiger, they put up Muhammad, people like that doing commentary, and it's really, really funny. And definitely buy the DVDs. If you're in Canada, go to the shows. And if you're in Connecticut, go to the show this coming week, the U.S. debut.
I think what we're going to do is
don't watch UFC. Don't stay home and watch UFC.
Don't
go to whatever was the other thing. What was the other thing?
G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe.
Don't go to G.I. Joe. Go to Interspecies Wrestling.
Nice.
You know Danny Havoc is wrestling Masada that night, too?
What?
Yeah, man. Isn't it? What night is that? Is it August?
Saturday. August 8th.
August. Yeah, Masada is coming in for CZW against Danny Havoc in, like, the only worthwhile match I think they've put on in, like, 3 years. I think it'll be pretty good.
I don't see any Drake Younger there at all, so.
I'd rather go to Interspecies Wrestling, though.
I would agree. I think that's the way to go.
Fuck CZW.
You know, I do, though, I'm watching more CZW just due to the fact I've been watching a lot of Botchamanias lately. So, you know.
Yeah,
it's amazing the fact that promotion has gone on.
Best of the best.
Do you remember ISW Incredibly Strange Wrestling?
Oh, yes.
You should ask him about that at some point. I don't know if J.R. Benson and him are ever going to do a combined show for their ISWs.
All I know, Rob, is you're very happy. I bet you're very happy to see that XPW 10 will be coming up later on this month. So the return of XPW for one night and maybe more.
I hate to say it, not really. Sorry.
Son of a bitch.
I hope Kevin Kleinrock doesn't send me angry emails now. but I don't know. Not exactly. Maybe I will be if I see names and matches, but not really. I was stoked last year. I could give you that much. I think doing it 2 years in a row kind of demeans it, but whatever.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Good luck, XPW.
Wow.
I never even watched XPW. Sorry, Keith.
Dude, the TV was hilarious.
The TV was hilarious.
Oh, I watched. I saw some of those things on YouTube with Excalibur. And I also really want to see that match that Naylor's been talking about, like, ever since, like, the very first time I heard Rob in a show. Was like,
Rising Sun versus Super Dragon?
No, it was a tag match. It was, what's his name? Black guy that was in Special K. Brian XL. Brian XL.
That black guy from Special K. Jay Lethal.
No, not Jay
Lethal. Hydro!
Brian XL and Smokey Carmichael against,
Lucha guys, I think.
Yeah, Damien 666 and Halloween. It's very good match.
I need to see that sometime since you've been harping on about it for years.
Dude,
and also, you posted about a Jado and Ghetto versus Impact Players match from the ECW Arena, and I really got to see that now. That sounds really
Have you ever
really awesome.
You've not seen it?
No.
Oh, man.
Anyone out there, if anyone has a link or anything, wants to send it my way, feel free.
Would you like a video cassette of it from the time period, Alan?
Wow.
That's how I get
out. Speaking of which, Alan, I swear to God I'm going to send you those DVDs soon. I keep spacing.
Oh, thank you. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Can I say something right now? I definitely want to give a quick – I don't usually give out shout-outs too often. I'm more about the plugs. But a fine listener by the name of S.A. Rios sent –
He's the man.
He sent me the Best of the Super Juniors, which I was very happy about because it was nice to watch all that stuff. And it was just nice to watch, you know, a wrestling DVD as opposed to matches on my computer. But then he sent me a collection of matches, and he sent me possibly 50 or 60 DVDs, it seemed like. So as someone that's going to be up very late at night with a young child very soon, I definitely want to say you are the man. So thanks.
Let's talk more about S.A. Rios. He sent me a bunch of DVDs the one time, and it's like all Sid Vicious squash matches and like Ted yep. Grizzly against Paul Orndorff from All-Star Challenge WWE in 85, random Islanders matches.
If you like the Islanders, PM this man. He's on CZW Fans and the F4W board. PM this man if you like the Islanders, if you like Tonga Kid whatsoever, this man will hook you up with the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. Outside of Alan Farrell, he is the greatest living wrestling fan on the planet. Like, this guy is ridiculous.
I think he's more enthusiastic than me, to be honest.
Perhaps.
He still finds way more enjoyment in, like, ROH and certain WWE things that I don't like.
He's a big Eddie Edwards fan as well.
I'm growing on the Eddie Edwards. I thought Ricky Marvin kind of sucked in the NTV Cup with Eddie. Well, he was okay. I wouldn't say he sucked. He was all right. But Eddie Edwards is really, really good in the matches I've seen of them. He did the Jericho and Ghetto super Avalanche Frankensteiner where both guys are standing on top rope and it looked awesome. And
Eddie Edwards did that?
Yeah, he did. And I was gonna say that on the Best of Super Juniors DVD, Keith, watch the Yamato versus Tsuyoshi, I can never say his first name, Tsuyoshi Kikuchi house show match. It's the greatest collection of facial expressions you've ever seen in a pro wrestling match.
Nice. In a pro wrestling match.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Rob, be there.
Yeah, we're still here, Alan. Alan? Alan? Naylor? Guys, are you still there? You know what? I'm not going to edit this. This is the way it's got to be. So I can't believe this. Rob, are you still there?
Hello?
Hello, I'm there. Can you guys hear me? No one can hear.
Saying you've got to watch the Kikuchi and Yamato match. It was a house show match from like the Best Super Juniors, and it's the greatest collection of facial expressions you've ever seen in the pro wrestling match. It's ridiculous. They have a stare down. They have like the Hogan Rock stare down. Has nothing on the stare down these two guys had to start this match. It was unbelievable.
Saucy. Something I will be checking out first, but I definitely want to say much thanks to S.A. Rios for hooking me up with all those wonderful DVDs. You are a tremendous fellow, and I do appreciate it. So, and I hadn't had a chance to write him back yet, so I thought this was a lazy man's way of doing it. So yay for me being lazy.
And he produces over the post great music.
He has great music videos that he puts up as well. Like, check his YouTube, S.A. Rios 187. Check his YouTube. Watch all his music videos. They're not like, if you're someone who likes a little bit crazy kind of special effects and shit in your music videos, it's not like that. It's just cool stuff from like the 80s of WWF, like Dragon Gate, just the most random shit all thrown together, and it looks cool and it's awesome. I'm not someone who really needs all that wacky special effect shit. It kind of just kind of disrupts the video for me. So I just like seeing it plain basic like this, and it's pretty cool to me the way he does it. So check out them, and you might like it like me and Rob do.
In a way, that music video zone place kind of killed videos. Everyone's just trying to be like Scorsese or something. And I just like the simple idea of presenting footage, syncing it to beats, and, you know, having somewhat of a concise story for each video. But now you get like these dramatic, they darken the screen and you get your fades in and out and blinking lights. It's like I have fucking a seizure or something. It's crazy. Like, there's a lot of really awesome, awesome music video people that can make the coolest music videos. I'm a huge mark for music videos, but Some are better than others, I'll just say.
What would you say, like, let's say, guys, that you could pick one wrestling music video to watch? Which one would that be?
Made by a wrestling company or made by, like, a guy on the internet?
Could be either or.
Oh, that's... Okay.
I would sit there and say it could be made by a wrestling company for the express written consent of the internet, though.
Oh, okay.
You know, because what I'm thinking right now, and one of my favorites of the last few years was someone that was a day with Katara did a Hollow Wicked versus Eddie Kingston feud video. And
that was a good feud.
Oh, it's a fantastic feud, and the video for it was sensational. It's I believe you can find it. I want to say it's on the Chapter 11 DVD from their last show of 2007, I believe. And the video worked perfectly. The clips that they had of the matches explaining everything that had happened were just so fantastically done. And Chikara usually does, I think, a very good job with these videos showcasing the feuds and spotlights. I know they recently had something about, like, you know, an up-to-date, you know, what the storylines are and such. And that also was good, because I like it when independent wrestling companies realize that people aren't able to order all these shows, and people want to know the storylines and what's happening. So, you know.
I'm really bad at remembering, like, the music videos and, like, who made them, shit like that. So I'd probably just say any of the random goodness videos that S.A. Rios does, I really enjoy. And also, I think, Rob, did you make... I'm pretty sure it was you. There was a video with what was the fucking song? Winds of Change. Did you make a video?
That was my
video. Yeah, I remember really, really liking that. I haven't watched it in a while. That was a really good video, I thought. And,
dude, somebody that's not me put that on YouTube, and it's got a lot of it's got like 60,000 views and like a lot of positive feedback. So I'm like, cool, man. I'm glad people have seen that, because that's one of the first ones I made videos in like 2004. I don't even have the means to do it anymore.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I have no idea how people make those things.
But I'm really proud of that. That was probably that and the Teddy Hart mixtape was my claim to fame. But my favorite music video is this kid called Robbie from the England area. Yeah, he made a video for like that Sigur Rós. I don't know what they're, but they had a Sigur Lopflor. I can't speak the Icelandic language, but. He made a video to this really kind of somber, sad song, and he had all these clips of all of wrestling history interwoven into this video, and, like, it was before all the deaths. So
was it a very piano-based song, you know, where it's like, doom, 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 doom.
Yeah, and it has this girl going,
Yeah.
But no, you're thinking of another Sigur Rós song that's really good that I saw, like, an Eddie Guerrero video to. That's a really good song, too. Hopi Pola.
Yes, that was actually a song that was played during my wedding dinner reception. So,
That's a beautiful song. Props to whoever came up with that. But, yeah, both this band has this really deep song. And at the end, they, like, have this girl guy crying. And, like, it's all these clips of, like, Bam Bam and Bloody Kerry Von Erich. And then at the very end, Benoit picks the belt up. And this is, like, before Benoit died. So it's kind of, like, kind of deep now. And you watch it, you're like, all these people are dead. And, like, it's like, oh, shit. But, like, really great hodgepodge of just every video ever. The syncing is amazing. It's just, it's sick. I wish I could do it more justice, but...
Do you know what are really good videos? Every year for the Tokyo Dome, they make, and all those videos are on YouTube, they make the coolest videos built just prior to the Tokyo Dome. It's so, so awesome. I think it was the 2007 one, I'm going to say, had all this stuff bed, because there was a bunch of All Japan guys against New Japan guys, so they had, like, the parallel of, like, Inoki and Baba, and then, like, going to, like, Fujinami and, like, Misawa and all those guys, and Jumbo, and just all this cool footage to, like, a really, really cool song, and that is something you gotta see.
Oh, there's a YouTube video of Misawa, like, a memorial to a Snow Patrol song, and I can't remember what the song is. I think it's Run. Really good. Really kind of sad, but really good video. So check that one out, too. But, yeah, honestly, I could, like, watch wrestling videos all day. The old Memphis ones and the Mid-South ones. And ECW had the November Rain ones. And Christian Woman by Typo Negative when Sandman and Woman turned on Tommy Dreamer was so fucking awesome. Paul Lee really had a knack for picking the right songs for videos. They did a couple Alice in Chains one for, like, the Sabu Cactus feud. very memorable videos. They weren't all good, because I remember they did Head Up by House of Pain for, like, the Samoan Gangsta Party or something. That one didn't really work, but 9 times out of 10, Paulie had the knack for that.
Oh, I miss the Samoan Gangsta Party.
Me too. That's a fucking badass contingent.
Very good Samoans, so... Wow.
They all are.
Oh, what else do we want to discuss on the show this week, gentlemen? Because, of course, you know, we've had a blockbuster of a show. I mean, I think there's so much as to giving the people too much, and we really have given everyone has given a lot this week on the program. And
let's go Jake Roberts on that ass and start talking about DDT4.
Yeah. What we're going to do is we're going to take a match each from the Young Bucks and talk about why we each like their specific match. So I'm taking the final, so I figure I should go last. Save the best to last, if you will.
Mr. Naylor, which match will you be taking, sir?
I'll go with the Cutlers, or whatever the name are. They had a really good opening match, and better than the match I saw at 100, I believe it was. But killer match. The Cutlers do all kinds of cool double teams. The Young Bucks are just masters crafting a match that's going to get the fans going nuts by the end. Something that should be noted is the Young Bucks' transitions in between their flashy moves are so good. Like, the elbows the one guy does are just so ridiculous. It's just like a back elbow, but like he just slaps something, and it's just like, shit, he really killed him with that. And the one guy did like a backwards roll into a diamond cutter at one point. Those guys are just so awesome. I somewhat forget the finish. Oh, the finish was that thing where he goes for like the old Eddie Guerrero roll-up, but he kind of stands up with it, and then the gravity goes crazy because he goes then and falls backwards, and the guy does like a face smash bump.
Yeah, it was like the reverse flying ass, as Dave Prezza called it in IWA, and it said. And he just did like an extra flip so that the guy goes onto his face. But, like, and
yeah,
they did the thing with the controversial kick out. It was what I really liked about that finish was that's a move that Matt Jackson like does in almost every match, but like because it was the finish here, he managed to get like about 50% more just snap and whip on it that it looked just so much killer than it usually does, which was so perfect since it was gonna be the finish.
Yeah, and it protects another one of their moves. I mean, they could be critiqued very mildly, not by me, of course, as doing too much, but that is one of the cases where that's not too much. They hit a killer move, and whether that was supposed to be the finish or not, I thought it was awesome, because every match they had, I believe, that night, there was a different finish, so I really liked it a lot. Young Bucks forever. I hope they get booked all over the place.
They definitely are. If anything, they are being booked. You know, I mean, you're talking about a team that, you know, Dragon Gate USA, Ring of Honor, PWG, you know, and Dragon Gate also in Japan. I mean, this is a team that we've seen explode, and it's been great because I've mentioned this before on the show, we've seen this tag team progress so much over the last, you know, 14 months, you know, from being two guys where it was just like, oh, it's two guys, you know, like a Rock and Roll Express Rockers, to being, you know, an individual team and possibly one of the best teams of the decade, you know, because like these guys and a lot of it saying a lot about tag team wrestling, because it is sort of, you know, especially in the late 90s and such, tag team wrestling wasn't what it was before, where it was basically a lot of makeshift duos coming together for short title reigns, as opposed to teams that were known for that team concept, for the fact that you had two guys that made excellent tag team wrestlers. You know, like, I mean, right now we have like the Motor City Machine Guns, we have the Briscoes, and we have these Young Bucks, and these guys together work so smooth and so fluid that it really makes their matches something special. And this DDT4 tournament, available of course at ProWrestlingGorilla.com, this was without a doubt one of the top three shows of the year, I would say. And
I would say
when it comes to, I mean, I haven't seen some Noah stuff yet, and
yeah, the 3-1 Noah show was my favorite, and this beat that.
Wow, that's saying a whole lot. And the thing was, up until I'd seen the main event, I would say the tag team match of the year that I've seen so far, and this has been a great year for tags, was the Young Bucks versus the Men of Low Moral Fiber, the team of Sexy Chucky T and Kenny Omega versus the team of the Young Bucks, because these guys just when you're talking about a match where people are just laying everything out on the table, this was it. And I think there was so much great back and forth between both these teams, and just the fans were just so up for this match. The fans really wanted to see something happen here, and the fact that there was a near fall in here that, without a doubt, everyone in the building that was watching totally thought they were going to see a title change and the Young Bucks lose, and they lost their shit during it. You could actually hear men leaving their bowels when this happened, and that's one of the things I love about pro wrestling, because there's so much greatness involved with that, and just there was so much drama, and more importantly, not only did it make the Young Bucks look stronger, but it really helped solidify a makeshift team maybe of Chuck Taylor and Kenny Omega, but a team that worked very, very well together and had a fantastic match with the Young Bucks on this show. I mean, this was, until I'd seen the final, like I said before, this was, I had to say, one of the best tag matches I've seen all year. And
how about that victory roll rolled into another victory roll? That was a killer fall, too.
That was, I almost lost my stuff during it. And I know I did.
It was crazy.
That's saying a lot, because you would think, wow, I think we've seen everything. But these Young Buck guys, these Young Buck kids have become so great and so innovative, where they can sit there and go to the East Coast and sit there and do a promo saying that they are, not the, future of the pro wrestling. They are the present, the present team of pro wrestling. And they did it. They did almost an exact promo at a pro wrestling guerrilla show, and basically are now hated heels out on the West Coast because of it. So that's how great this team is right now. So I love their match with this. And then I love the finals even more, because really, I think after the crowd was sort of soured on the Young Bucks, I think this was the match the crowd really loved, just for the fact that it was two men beating the living shit out of them. Take it, Alan.
Yeah, the finals, it was the Bucks against Danielson and Roderick Strong, Hybrid Dolphins. And this was totally different to like both the Young Bucks matches from earlier in the show, but also it was really different from the Danielson and Strong matches, because they were like in their first match, you had Paul London kind of at ringside, like goofing around and stuff like that.
Oh, it was awesome.
And the second match was it was more kind of technical and like a lot of cool double teams and stuff against the Machine Guns, as you'd kind of expect from a Machine Guns match. But the final, it was like, this was basically the slaughter of the Young Bucks. They just were brutalized, beaten. It was like an extended squash match, but it was like a squash match between a couple of guys who had royally pissed off the locker room and were going out to get receipts from like the locker room tough guys or something like that. Because Danielson and Strong, particularly Danielson, it was like Danielson and Nick Jackson were pretty much paired off for the whole thing, and Matt Jackson and Roderick were paired off for the whole thing. And Danielson beat Nick's ass, like throwing him around the crowd, throwing him into chairs, throwing him onto fat people. It was ridiculous. I believe he actually threw him at a woman and like kicked him right like when he was like on her lap, and she started crying. It was so brutal. It was so cool, and it just went on and on like that, and it just got more and more intense, and just, it was like you're waiting for Young Bucks comeback, and it wasn't coming, and that made it better. And I knew the Young Bucks were winning going into it, so I was like, it's gonna look really kind of stupid if they get like a fluke win here, or that they win with a roll up after this seeding. And I was kind of really enjoying the match, but at the same time kind of thinking the finish might take in here, like I know what's going to happen, they're going to get like something out of nowhere and win, and it won't really make sense, like Danielson and Rodrikov taking like no punishment and then lose the match. But what they did, they actually did it so perfectly towards the kind of closing stages. They had done a few things where Roderick and Danielson took some punishment, like missing a move and like going into chairs or going into the post or whatever, stuff like that, and then they had this finishing sequence where the Young Bucks just completely turned the tide, and it was like the Austin Aries Samoa Joe sequence to when Aries won the belt, Yeah. It was just such a string of just killer moves that even though, like, because, like, Joe had kind of beaten Aries around a lot in that match and hadn't taken much of punishment in, like, the first, like, 90% of the match. But he was just hit with that, like, kick, brainbuster, 450, and it didn't matter what had happened before. There was no kicking out of that. And they just strung this thing together where, like, Danielson missed a move, and, like, Matt Jackson got away from Roderick, and the Bucks, like, were in the exact right place to hit this string of moves on Danielson to lead to their finish, which they'd won every match on the show with, and it was, like, just totally, totally feasible that Danielson wasn't going to kick out. It was so perfect, and just, it was, like, the perfect end to the tournament, and it was my match of the tournament, and one of my favorite matches all year, definitely, probably top three, top four.
It was great, great stuff. I mean, we talked about, we touched upon this a little bit last week, but I think the DVD was so great and the show was so great that we really just wanted to address it again. That definitely, if you are a pro wrestling fan in the year 2009 and you are not watching Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and if you've not tried Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and want a show to start with to watch, I would say DDT4 is a tremendous, tremendous show. So definitely check that out at ProWrestlingGuerrilla.com. But gentlemen, I think with that, I think we are going to end the show this week, as we, of course, are way over time. That's fine. But we'll be back hopefully within the next week or two, and hopefully the guest host, which is my new child, will not be making too much of an appearance. So, you know, although it would be great to have some baby crying every once in a while. So, guys, any final thoughts, comments, or anything you would like to say before we end the show this week? I'm going to start with you, Mr. Rob Naylor.
Oh, God, I always have to go first.
Of course.
I have nothing but happiness, and I hope that CM Punk continues to make children cry.
Which is should be the goal of anyone, really.
Although my nieces are going to go on Monday to Reading for a house show, so I hope they don't cry.
I'm sorry, but I hope he takes Jeff Hardy in front of them and, much like Bryan Danielson, kicks him in the head in front of me.
I hope he just totally spotlights you and your two nieces. So,
that would,
you know,
be bad.
He took Bryan Danielson's elbows, so he can take the kicking the shit out of someone in front of young ladies from him too.
Alan, any final thoughts on this week's show?
No, just go check out Interspecies Wrestling. Since we've been plugging it the whole show. So, yeah. DDT4. Those are the two things. Oh, and the G1's coming up, and I think I mentioned that already. It's really going to be really good. Although I heard Takashi Sugiura may have a knee injury, but I think he's going to be fine for it. And watch his matches with everyone, like Goto and Nagata. Watch his match with Nagata when that comes online, and it's going to be really good. And Tajiri's in it. I haven't seen Tajiri in ages, and I think his matches will probably suck, because it doesn't really work hard anymore, and he just does comedy and shit. But it should be good. He's wrestling Tanahashi. That'll be fun, no matter what
happens. He'll outwork Tanahashi. I love Tajiri.
I love Tajiri, too. Like, there was no bigger Tajiri fan than me, but, like, he just does hustle and shit now.
Well, hustle and shit? What is that? What is that meaning, sir?
Well, hustle's awesome, obviously, and other shit is, like, whatever else he's doing.
Proper.
I love hustle. Arma and Geddon.
On that negative note from Angry Alan, this is Dr. Keith Lipinski signing off. Thank you so much for listening to Dr. Keith Lipinski Show. So long, everybody.